The console arms race continues to be interesting since graphics quality can no longer grow as dramatically as it did generation over generation. Xbox rode the wave of Kinect across two generations, but as of the series generation, they have no extra piece of gaming tech. While rumors say that Sony's PSVR 2 or PS5 VR will be impressive, challenging even today's PC VR headsets. The story of consoles never ends. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about it and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again tonight with episode number 869, nice, of our show for this May the 16th of 2021. I can't read my own numbers. Hi, I am Rob Roberts, and I am joined by my co-hosts. Say hello, as always, to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I've had a long day, but a fairly good day.
Yeah.
I went to one of my favorite places to eat and loaded up on... Finally, they're back to having the pink garlic sauce at Pita Kitchen.
Nice.
Just saying.
Oh, I don't think that was there.
Sumac is delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, one of our favorite local little restaurants. We are based in Sacramento, California, so sometimes it's and all three of us live in the area. We live in the suburbs, if nothing else. So sometimes we can't avoid the local chat, such as favorite restaurants. But if you happen to be local and you know this place, Pita Kitchen, Alan, I was just telling Jamie before the show, Alan and I were there like a week and a half ago, and it was marvelous. And it's a small little restaurant. You know, it's like a small team that runs it, so I'm really glad they're still around, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But, you know, they had some different stuff there in their little grocery store, and I picked up some spinach and cheese pies. They're wrapped in phyllo dough. They're like giant spanakopita. They're just really delicious.
Get the baklava, because I've had bad baklava, but theirs is really good.
Theirs is always delightful. And yeah. We actually got into a discussion on, like, how terrible making phyllo dough is. And she's like, we don't make it. I'm like, awesome. But yeah, we had a really good time, but I'm really irritated that the pet store that I go to does not have Midna's food, nor had they had it for the last 3 weeks. And I get her refrigerated food, so they don't like keep any extra stock in back. So I had to buy her raw food.
I was going to
have to thaw it.
I was going to tell you, we can't even, like, the food that Smush eats, we can't even get it at, like, the big brand. We have to go to the indie pet store over by Lohmann's. That's the only place that will have the food. And that's not the closest pet store to us, but it's whatever. It's the only place that has the food that Smush will eat. So you should check that. Maybe they have the food you're looking for.
What are you feeding him, like, caviar from a live sturgeon?
No, it's just a certain brand. He's a weird kitty. You all know that. He doesn't really care for kitty treats either. It's interesting. So anyway.
Okay.
We will get to get, look, local discussion is inevitable sometimes. If you are unaware with the history of our show, you know, we are the longest running video game podcast because we started, well, video game show, because we started this in online show. We started this in 2002. So podcasting wasn't even really a thing yet, but we did get in on podcasting really early. It was before it was on iTunes, when you had to use things like Lemon Pod, I think it was called, to sync your podcast. It was like 2005. We won the very first podcast award in gaming. We were fortunate for that. But anyway,
and I have the award.
Yes,
right,
you
here.
Do. There it is. Yeah, 2005. Dark Sakura, Loki, and myself. Hi, Techmaster Loki, by the way.
Hello.
I hate to make you sit there in silence, my bad. But we all met playing Dance Dance Revolution at Roseville Golfland. So there is a local sense of connection here on the show. And, you know, in those early years, if you didn't already know the story at OLR, we talked a lot about DDR. That was our scene and that was our community. And then Konami kind of abandoned DDR for a few years and then wanted a seat at the table again once Guitar Hero and Rock Band got big, and it was awkward. But our show grew into all sorts of video games because we just love video games, dang it.
Right, they're like looking at Rock Band going, but we had this. Oh, you've got better buttons.
That's right, Konami. You had the opportunity and you didn't take the risk. So someone beat you to it. You blew it, bitch. That's you know.
But they even screwed up their own rendition of that as well, considering that they had a winning formula and then they're just like, nah, let's put out Rock Revolution instead.
Loki, I think your audio is coming through your webcam, not your mic, just so you know. It's kind of tin canny. Just
weird.
So you know.
Okay.
Yeah, you might want to check that. Anyway, while he fixed that live, I'm going to check our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I almost said twitch.tv/Bobby Blackwolf.
There we go.
Yes, much better. For two reasons. One, I forgot to say happy birthday, Bobby Blackwolf, on our throw call tonight. That was on my mind. His birthday was this past week, so happy belated birthday
again.
I know, he's 29.
Happy wriggling day.
Go figure. So
I mean, for the first time, obviously,
happy birthday, Bobby Blackwolf, and congratulations to our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who announced this week he will be an announcer during Summer Games Done Quick. It's his third time at a Games Done Quick event, pretty much all the virtual ones at this point. So congrats. We don't know what games he's announcing yet. We're expecting to find that out tomorrow. But as I understand, there are no Yakuza runs this year, so there's not going to be like a baby thing or any of that stuff that I know. Too bad, huh? But it's also at the same time we can say aw, but I do love that Games Done Quick like mixes up the games, right? Because how are other games supposed to get a shot if, you know, it's always the same games? So I think that's great. Let's see. Some other comments. Speaking of the local chat, and then I promise we'll get into gaming news. Pod Culture says, how long has it been since Pinkberry was mentioned? Well, that is a bit of a local place, but I think it's a West Coast chain. No, it is. It's international. I see it in airports and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's everywhere.
I've eaten at a Pinkberry in Atlanta.
I think it started
at the airport.
I think it started in L.A., so there's like a lot of them on the West Coast. But anyway, long story short, the one that Dark Soccer and I used to go to closed. And Alan, also my husband, kind of let it known that he has a preference for another place called Menchie's. And so that's one of those yogurt battles I just give in on. Like, my husband's allowed a nice thing once in a while. And Menchie's is good.
They also have Dole Whip at Menchie's. So.
Yes, yes.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they do. They do like a Dole Whip type thing. So
this has to happen.
I don't know if it's official, though, but it's their own version
it's
of it.
Not.
And it's fine.
I don't think they can call it that, but it's basically that.
Yeah.
You know what I still think we need to do is that we need to have a dinner at Brookfield's and then go to Pinkberry.
Well, you know, especially now that I don't want to say a pandemic is over because it certainly isn't. But now that we're getting vaccinated and, you know,
we're pandemic late right now.
Well, you know, you still want to be cautious. And I know there's the CDC guidance and a lot of people are a little skittish about that because unfortunately this pandemic, I mean, whereas the science says vaccinated people aren't going to spread it. You can hang out with other vaccinated people without a mask. The reality is a lot of us are a little bit unfortunately, this whole instance has seen the best in people and the worst in people. And unfortunately,
I don't trust other people, to be honest.
Exactly. I don't think a lot of us do. We don't trust other people, to be honest. And that's really unfortunate. But hopefully more and more people get vaccinated and that'll do the trick because the vaccinations are working. That's it. Period. So the more people that get vaccinated, the less longer this will go on. But anyway, it's nice to think that some of those things are a possibility again, like the, you know, Brookfield's trip and, you know, who knows, maybe going to see what a sad place Rosehill Golf Land is these days and what have you, all those types of things. So, yeah, who knows? A lot of exciting stuff coming in the next few months, I'm sure. I think it would be fun to film a trip like that and put it as like a bonus video at VOG Network for our subscribers. That might be fun. So,
you know what, though? I legit haven't been to Pinkberry since 2019.
I haven't been in about a year myself. I still like it, like, just because I give in and my husband gets to pick most of the time. I still sneak and have it. I'll be at an airport and I'll be like, ooh, I'm going to have that. So
they need Blood Orange back and then I'll go.
Speaking of airport. Go ahead, Logie.
I was going to say, I stopped going there because I just didn't like their flavors. Like, I had one, like, they started doing these, like, kind of, they were sort of ice cream, but not ice cream. And then they just started, like, really weird flavors I didn't like. So
that's what pissed Alan off too. Their flavor selection was so limited, and once they would get a flavor that he really liked, it would be gone at the end of the month. They rotate something else. Yeah.
Do you know though what I miss? Is I miss Naya, the gelato place that was all in the Bay Area.
Oh, I don't think I ever ate there. Maybe once.
So all right, and I'll get off of it after this, but just imagine. You have a place that has something like 20 different flavors of gelato, and they rotate a lot of their flavors. And they had champagne. They had Guinness. They had whole wheat that tasted like eating cereal. They had, yeah, like all kinds of just different ones. And the alcoholic ones were actually alcoholic. And I ate a big old bowl of Guinness and champagne. It was delightful.
No, I miss it. We had a place over here, and I think it's a chain, Rita's, that's frozen custard.
Yes.
But then they closed the one that's nearby us.
All right. Look.
I'm super disappointed because that's so good.
Look.
Can you tell me one ice cream?
I get that snacking is important. And if the chat wasn't lighting up going, gelato, yes, Rita's. Like, if the chat wasn't supporting this, we probably would have cut it off a while ago. But I do want to get into some gaming news because there was quite a bit of it this week. I'm going to start.
Okay. I won't even talk then about the whole wheat Kit Kats.
Ooh, we could do a whole other spinoff show on Kit Kat flavors, and we might. But anyhow.
Oh, and my new obsession is Pringles from around the world.
Ooh, I love Pringles. Anyway, look, no more food. All right, let's talk tonight. Our kickoff story tonight, we want to talk a little bit about Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest. And you may be thinking, like, Rob, are you giving preference to one of your favorite games and letting it have the lead topic tonight? Partially, yes, but even if you don't play Final Fantasy XIV, please don't tune out completely. I assure you there's a very good reason I'm bringing this up at the top of the show, talking about Fan Fest. I'll get to there in a minute. So obviously the Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest convention is virtual this year. Every other year they've done three of them in person. They do a Vegas one, they do a Europe one, they do a Japan one, and it's usually like doing a tour of the latest expansion announcement. Obviously because of COVID, it was supposed to be in San Diego this year actually. They were going to move it from Vegas, but you know, long story short, we all know what COVID did to that. So they ended up doing these online events instead. So they did a original like keynote announcement back in February. Shane and I co-streamed that with some of our buddies that we play Final Fantasy with here at VOG Network. And Shane and I did that Friday night as well, is we actually was streaming the keynote event that showed everything else about this expansion coming up, and that was here at VOG Network. So for those of you that subscribe to us here at VOG Network on Twitch, first off, thank you. Second off, you can go back and watch that if you want. It is a longer keynote because the translation, because they have to say it in Japanese, then they say it in English. So, you know, an hour keynote now is 2 hours. And even within, they were kind of stretching time. Like, you could tell the parts that, you know, the audience response would be, yeah, woo, and like screaming and things, that was gone. And so it would be these interesting moments of Naoki Yoshida, the producer, kind of leaning in and looking at the TV monitors, like literally reading chat as he's trying to do the whole thing. You know, and so for what it is, with the state of the world being that it is, he did his best. And I thought it was
he tried,
and it was a good keynote overall. And a lot of the expansion announcements about the game look great. As we learned previously, Final Fantasy XIV is going to be the latest expansion called Endwalker. It seems to have a heavy Final Fantasy IV influence because we're going to the moon, and they are now selling a lunar whale mount in the game, as well as you can get Rosa, Edgar, one other one. I'm sorry, not Edgar. Edge, Rosa, Edge, Iridia, of course. You can get in the shop. Little minions right now for in the game. And there's pre-order bonuses. I think Porum is the pre-order bonus, and then Palum is in the collector's box. I might have gotten that backwards. You know, those of you that really need to know that information probably already know. They gave us the release date, though, November 23rd. That's a little ways out. I think some folks were a little bit like, oh, that's a bummer, we're gonna have to wait so long. But I mean, you know, the development of the game was really kind of stopped for 4 months during COVID. So if you think about it, it does make sense. So when you, as awesome as this expansion looks, it you understand. And you want it to be done right, of course, right? We hate it when
Thank God they're trying to do it right.
We hate it when game companies release games and there's problems with them. Hold that hold that thought. It'll be relevant later. Anyhow.
And I'm going to have an FU for the record.
We'll get there. Meanwhile, let's talk about some other information with Final Fantasy XIV Endwalker. They revealed the other class that will be playable in the game. It's one of the things that pains me the most in the world is having to admit when Shane is right. But damn, that boy nailed it. Like, he called that the new class would be the Reaper class and it would have a scythe. And sure enough, it was the Reaper class with a scythe. I think the thing he didn't figure
that
out
might be enough to make me play again.
The thing he didn't figure out was that you get a little ghost companion when you play it, and you kind of like absorb. The ghost hugs you. It's the most adorable thing I've ever seen. And go look up the Reaper trailer, Dark Sakura, on the Final Fantasy XIV channel. It's pretty amazing.
The problem is that I would have to buy the whole thing on Mac again.
Yeah, that part's a bummer. So, but anyway. You kind of can merge with the ghost and you do special attacks, and that's cool. They also unveiled, and this was big for me at the end. I was not expecting it. And if you go back and watch the feed, I was literally just in a state of shock because my brain literally did not understand what was happening when they announced male Viera are coming to the game as the next playable race. By God, male Viera, the bunny people from Final Fantasy XII. That have always been, like Fran was the biggest, most well-known Viera. And the lore, you only ever really saw female Viera. I believe male Viera are kind of known to exist, but they're not really seen. But anyway, long story short, we're getting them in Final Fantasy XIV. I've been a big advocate for this for a long time, so I was thrilled. And now that I've had time for like my brain to process it all, I am really thrilled with this. And absolutely, I'll be race-changing to a boy bunny, as will lots of people that play Final Fantasy XIV, I'm sure. So that is a very exciting announcement. And then, of course, they detailed some new areas in the game and some new things about the story. They really detailed the collector's edition. They wheeled it out. They have a pin, and they have all this other really cool stuff that is coming out. So for the most part, that was the keynote. Now, the event continued on throughout the weekend, and they would do some panels talking about, like, they had one, the live letter, that kind of gave a roadmap about what to expect between now and when the Endwalker expansion releases. Like, here's the next story patch. Here's when we're going to implement the data center moving, which is another huge thing about Endwalker. I'm so excited for that. For example, like Zeba here at VOG Network, I don't know if she's listening live tonight, but I know she listens to the show, and she's always kind of said, "Ah, bummer, you know, she's on a different data center than I am. We can't play together, but in Endwalker, or shortly before Endwalker starts, we will be able to do that with the data center move." So a temporary move, a visit, whatever they call it. So that is going to be very exciting. And they also do these big concerts. This is the big, big, you know, thing. When you're there live, the concert is it, man. They did like a Friday night piano concert, and they do a Saturday night concert with the Primals, which is like a rock band that features Soken. He's the guy that does all the music for Final Fantasy XIV. He actually like plays guitar and sings a lot of the songs, and all his band kind of does that. It's really cool. Unfortunately, because of the time difference, they were doing this in Japan. It was on at like 3 a.m. for us here in the U.S., so I didn't watch it live. Here's the part. Okay, perk up, because here's the part that is a really big deal and had a lot of people in the community talking today. So they did the concert, and after the concert is the closing ceremony, but it was a little bit different. What happened is Soken wanted to talk to the crowd that was watching for a little bit, and he basically said, you know, thank you for your support. Thank you for everything you've done. This has really helped me get through the year. And I'm very sorry I don't have the official audio. I tried to get that working before the show. Unfortunately, it didn't work. I tweeted out that video earlier today. If one of our resourceful folks like Tiger Claw or Dark Tetsuya could like pull that video from my tweet from this morning and like post it in chat and maybe the Discord, I'd really appreciate it. And so that those of you listening on the podcast feed can go check out on Discord this video link. Soken was thanking everybody because he revealed that in March of 2020, right before the coronavirus pandemic set in, he was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And he didn't reveal what type of cancer it was, so we don't know those details. But what we do know is that Square Enix and the Final Fantasy XIV team basically allowed him to work while he was in the hospital. And if you've played things like patch 5.3... there's a really big boss fight in that game with a really epic song in it called To the Edge, I believe is the name of that song. Mm-hmm. That song was basically written while he was in the hospital undergoing chemotherapy for cancer. And mm-hmm. that song, if you listen to it, has a huge impact. Like, go back and listen to that song again now that you know that information. That is huge. Sokin's contribution, I'm sorry, I'm just, this is a very heavy topic we're getting into, and I've just, like, I actually got choked up watching the video today, and I get choked up thinking about it, because you cannot understate the contributions of Sokin to Final Fantasy XIV. I have said this on the show before. There can be no successor to Nobu Uematsu. What that man has done for Final Fantasy, what that man has done for video game composition, and all of that can never be replaced. However, what Sokin has done with Final Fantasy XIV, and when you really consider that the project was a Realm Reborn, and all of this, the contributions of Sokin, he is a worthy successor to Final Fantasy's music. And I would assume, I don't know, I would have assumed before I heard this news over the weekend that he was probably doing Final Fantasy 16's music as well. This situation, I'm not sure if that's the case anymore. Who knows? Or any of that. They did not tell the production team about his cancer because everybody was working from home. So people didn't know. So this was the first time a lot of the production team was finding out about this. And so it was really heavy because you could hear the story producer going like, I feel so guilty. I was giving you so much work and asking all of these changes for you when I was going through all this. And Sokin is basically saying, and I am paraphrasing here, like, I am having this to work on, having the fans' feedback from things like the To the Edge composition, having all of this kept me going. And that's the part that really gets you choked up. And then something else to consider is that Naoki Yoshida, who's the producer of the game, and, you know, a big figure, he's the face of the game. He's, you know, the guy that gets out there and does all these keynotes. This entire time that Sokin is talking, he has his back to the audience. And you can tell he's breaking up. He's tearing up. And after about 13 minutes of discussion with Sokin and the team and everything, he says, I know this is a strange note to end the closing ceremonies on, but I just want to say that I am so happy that my best friend is still here. And if you don't get a little choked up in that moment watching it, and again, I'm sorry I can't be here and play it for you guys, but it might be triggering to some folks. I don't know. If you go and watch it, if you don't get a little choked up hearing that, I don't know. You've had a different life experience than I, clearly, because I had a hard time holding it together this morning watching that. You know, when you consider what this game, what this community, what this has done for people. And Yoshida also explains this a little bit with that when he was giving his first speech to the team when he was rebooting Final Fantasy XIV, Sokin was one of the first people to jump up and advocate for him and say, let's do this. Let's go. And so you can tell there's a tight friendship between these two. And Final Fantasy XIV and Final Fantasy the franchise is better for it. So to hear that all of this happened and none of us had any idea, and the game, sure, it had a 4-month delay, but are any of us going to complain at this point? No, we are not, because of everything we've heard that this team is going through and what they're going through personally. It's like, wow. Now, why is this relevant to folks who maybe don't play Final Fantasy XIV? I mean, yes, it's a nice story, but I tell you all this, and I tell you about what, you know, Sokin is literally pouring his heart and soul into this game and using this as therapy to get, you know, to fight what is a horrific battle. Tell me video games aren't art, people.
They absolutely are.
I mean, people that have said in the past video games aren't art, or people that mouth, we had a story a couple weeks ago about somebody getting mouthy on their cable talk show about, oh, Twitch is just people watching people play video games, and that's stupid. I dare that individual to watch that 13-minute video I watched earlier today. Fucking look them in the face and say, video games aren't art, or the video game community isn't important, or video games don't fucking help people. That fucking stereotype is done. We've had it. I don't know what else to say. That's that, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, is that, like, if you can't listen to this story and understand that video games are more than video games for a lot of people, then you're never going to get it, period. Mm. So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat said, Shane complained initially, but that was in the keynote. Not to speak for him, but A, he's the one that texted me this morning about all of that that went on, and I bet if I asked him again, he'd be like, oh, I get it. And he did kind of like during the keynote, he was kind of like, aw, well, you know, and it's kind of the same thing I landed on. He's only bummed because it looks so good he wants to play it now, but he gets it, I'm sure. Again, I don't want to speak for him, but I'm pretty sure he would say something to the equivalent there. Fifth Dream in chat says, yeah, Jesus, that guy talking about Soken. I have literally hundreds, 1,000 songs by him on my PC. I have all those Final Fantasy 14 Blu-ray soundtracks. Do yourself a favor, folks. Even if you don't fucking care about MMOs, and I get it, like, it's monthly fees, they're tough sometimes, even though, did you know Final Fantasy 14 is free to play, including the award-winning expansion Heavensward? Okay, this is like a meme at this point, but I'm serious. You could check it out, the first part, for free. But go listen to the soundtracks at least. They're so good, and there's so many like ways that they've remixed different songs in the game and so forth. It's pretty amazing. Let's see. And Sacred Jade points out it was triggering. I had tears. Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to watch. I think it just goes to show that, like, you know, again, video games are much bigger than pixels on a screen. That's for sure. And especially when you look at a game like Final Fantasy 14 that has such a huge community as it does. It was a difficult but also very beautiful thing to watch. So it just makes my heart for that game grow 10 more sizes, honestly. It really does. But if you don't play it and you're not into it, that's okay too. I'm sure you still agree with my bottom line and recognize that there's a lot more to this game than a game. That's for sure.
You know, I still listen to the old Da theme when I want to chill.
Yeah, yeah. There's some great songs for lots of moods in that game. Yeah. Agdeft says there's some Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn tracks in Theatrhythm that are pretty good. Yes, especially the arcade version has a lot of 14 tracks in them. If you're ever lucky enough to play one of those, that's for sure. So, all right. So that's what I wanted to talk about at the beginning of the show. Video games, more than just pixels. All right. Mm-hmm. And kudos to the Final Fantasy 14 team for being vulnerable, for one, and just a well-done fan fest. Even if I was a little critical that it was moving a little bit slow, I give them a break because they were expecting it to be in front of a crowd, and it wasn't. It's going to be awkward. It's okay. I'm excited to play the expansion very, very, very much, and listening to all of the music that Soken makes for that expansion. And I believe they said, chat, please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he did say it is in remission. That does have a happy note there. Okay. Moving on, let's get into our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games and maybe some gaming things off the screen too that we've been into this week. Dark Soccer, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm starting off with anger, but I'll get to the anger in a little bit. So, of course, I've been playing some Animal Crossing, and my friend Nika, who has been in chat before, is also playing. So I gave her about 30 to 40 DIYs, of which 6 remained since you just started playing. Thank you for helping to clear out my recycle bin. I also am doing, and I don't know if a lot of people know about this, but on the Nintendo Online app for your smartphone, if you go into that and then open up Nook Link, you can redeem, or you can like earn points, and they have six items that you can redeem at different price points. But there's like Switch cases and a door placard that looks like the leaf. But 3 of the items are photographs, and one of them is Isabelle, one is Nook, and the other are the Nooklings. They really boost your HHA score.
The Happy Home Academy, yes.
Happy Home Academy. And then, of course, I've been playing Dead by Daylight because I haven't gotten the freaking gnome yet. And I played a lot, But I had a funny experience, and I do have to talk about this because it was hilarious. So I was in Hawkins, which used to be one of my least favorite maps. And I guess the guys I was playing, I guess, realized I was, you know, fairly new. You know, I was doing okay, but I think that they were giving me looping practice because they would wait for me and then point, and then they would run the loop and I would just follow along, and then they let me 4K.
Nice.
How random is that, though? Like, that never happens. Usually people are assholes.
It's interesting the way that people, and this is in general for all games. We're talking about just Dead by Daylight in this instance, but isn't it interesting how people can communicate without communicating? Because I had a very similar sort of thing, except I was the survivor.
And for the record, they were all consoles, so I couldn't chat them.
Oh, bummer. I had a very similar circumstance where I was the survivor and there was a nurse in the match. And I was like, I was being chased by the nurse and the nurse wasn't using blink. And I was kind of like, this isn't normal. Like, what's going on? I thought, oh, it must be a baby nurse. Oh, my gosh. So I did things like I just started booping the nurse. Like, I would turn around and look at the nurse and I booped the nurse, into which response she'd hit me once. But she wouldn't. She didn't hit me twice.
Yeah.
So so that was the communication to me. Oh, she's here to farm. So finally, and without communicating, because again, I was with randos, we figured out this nurse wants to farm. And so we were doing healings. We're letting the nurse hit us and all this stuff. And then we left the match, pretty much helping each other out, and left. Well, Darsakura, we were all on Steam, so we could chat. And the killer was like, GG, I have a daily to chase for 180 seconds as nurse.
Yeah.
What the fuck quest is that? Thanks for letting me get it. And I was the one that ran him because I was like, why is this nurse chasing me and not using blink? And I'm thinking in my head, oh, well, I'm just going to keep running and like practicing doing that. Little did I know, I helped him beat his quest.
And yeah, I had that as a generic.
Yeah. So it's
so I had to do that on Plague.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just interesting. So communicating without communicating. Anyway, sorry to derail your game of the week. But
I really like that, although there are times where if I do get somebody in chat, I'm just going to flat out say, you know, if they're being little troll assholes, I'll be like, real mature. And then I'll just leave because don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm playing the Plague so I can blood vomit on them so that it forces them to leave the match. Anyway, so this is the thing I'm pissed about. So I did all of my reading up on the Windows ARM environment. I am on a Mac Mini M1. I need it for the majority of the work that I'm going to do. I can game on it just fine, except that I installed Parallels. I got the Windows ARM beta up, the developer's beta, so I could have the increased emulation. And it won't run Mass Effect. And I have paid for Mass Effect. So I have a KVM switch arriving tomorrow. And I'm going to hook up my PC again, the old dinosaur, so that I can Steam Link on my Mac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be okay. It's just I then have to figure out another cord or cable to get. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
And I know that they are still working on the x86 emulation for Windows ARM, and I'm pretty positive that, you know, it's not going to be too long away, and I'm not the most super hurried about it, I guess, because I have played them ad nauseum. At the same time, I need my space bird husband. I need the voice of Garrus to just read the phone book to me.
Yeah. The struggle.
Yeah, read the Presidium directory. Thank you, Garrus.
Well, I hope you're able to get that figured out, or the emulation kind of pulls through. I mean, it's a newer game and it's really pushing the boundaries of graphics and stuff. So there's a part of me that kind of gets it, but I also understand how it's frustrating. But isn't it nice that we have, you know, now that cloud and streaming technology, again, Jamie, you've given more cases for why that stuff is a good thing here on the show than any of us. Like, you know, you play Dead by Daylight on Stadia, you do, you know, and it's interesting to hear how you're using this cloud technology to your benefit in these different ways.
Well, and I'm really happy about it. I mean, right now, the only thing that I would need my PC for is just for Mass Effect. And if I wanted to play Dead by Daylight on Steam, mm-hmm. I'm going to log into Dead by Daylight on my PC just long enough to link my Steam account to it.
Yeah.
So that my purchases will transfer.
Yeah, smart.
But I mean, I'm still considering keeping Parallels and keeping it to run the Windows ARM because I can now play Hotful Boyfriend again. But a lot of the other games that I'm playing are available on Mac. Like I still have to play the second edition of Homestuck Hivebent. You know, which I've just been putting that off, and I'm probably going to stream that too. But other than that, I'm also playing Fantasian, which I moved it to Tuesdays to do my weekly, you know, chapter. So my goal is to get through like a story segment every time I play.
Nice.
And so I'm really pleased with that. And then I've also just discovered a lot of other streamers. I'm really, really happy about that. And PodCulture asked me if GeForce Now would work for me. Probably, because that's how Amethyst Rose Witch plays, but it doesn't have Mass Effect.
Don't.
So, again, because it's Steam linked through Origin.
Yeah.
And so that's where the
EA
the
probably
comes.
Wants to do their own thing eventually whenever they get around to it. So.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, if EA puts out a streaming service, then heck yeah, I'll be able, you know, the thing is that I'd still probably need to play some sort of copy on my computer so that I can mod the shit out of it later.
Well, maybe as some xCloud and Microsoft's technology moves along, that might actually be a good thing for EA, because we know that EA Play and Xbox Game Pass have an agreement together. So that could mean something. I'm hypothesizing, but maybe when Microsoft's cloud technology launches publicly, that's going to be a good thing.
Well, and you know what I've saved?
Hmm.
I have saved all of my character save files from the earlier Mass Effects.
They work, but not one. They did change the save file format for one, but two and three will work. That's what I heard, yeah.
But what this means is that when I start making a save file for one, I can use the Gibbed editor and change the way my Shepard looks.
Nice.
So, well, you know, that's always kind of fun for me.
You're going to, the thing you need in Mass Effect Legendary Edition, or you've won it, the photo mode. That's all you need. There's a photo mode now. You're going to have a field day.
Oh, well, you realize I was doing that anyway with Flycam.
Oh, no, I know. That's why I'm like, you're going to have a field day because now it's built in. So.
And everyone, when I'm playing again, look forward to the return of Mass Effecting. It will happen. Right. I might do it on Tumblr. I might do it on Twitter. It remains to be seen, but I've had people poking me already because, I mean, I got it to like over 10,000 followers on Tumblr for Mass Effecting.
Nice.
So we'll see. All right. I didn't mean to go off about that. And I will never do TikTok. Just saying.
All right. Let's move on to Loki. Loki, we've barely heard from you tonight. How was your gaming week?
It's been all Minecraft. Surprise. No. So I've been just more progress on the server than I'm on. Still haven't put out the second episode yet, but I've got a lot of footage I have to go through. My problem is I'm stuck in this kind of bad habit where I keep doing stuff in the game and keep recording it, but not editing that all down. So I need to find a good stopping point. And then right now, kind of the stuff I'm doing now is more of an episode 3 type stuff, but it's been lots of building farms and debugging stuff. I built a piglin bartering farm, but the problem with it is the normal design where you can separate them by one block, because the server I'm on, they have a dropped item entity reduction thing to help with lag. And so what happens is when you drop stuff too close together, it kind of clumps together. And so that broke what I have with my farm. So I had to, I have 8 piglins right now to trade with, but I had to drop that down to 4. So every other one, in order to space them out enough, and I have to figure out what I'm going to do with the other 4, probably move them around or something. But that's what I've been working on. It's a lot of work. It's all of this like farm stuff just to get the supplies I need to actually do more of the creative stuff. And then there's also what I have planned for episode 3 is building like an actual shop in the shopping district. So I've been working on getting it all together. I have the design done for it. Just supply gathering right now. So that's what I'm doing with the farms I have. And then outside of that, a little bit of Orna, That's pretty much been it. It's the same old stuff.
Sacred Jade in chat is asking what game is playing behind you tonight live on Twitch. You've got an interesting looking 16-bit game.
It is Ghoul Patrol. That is the sequel to Zombies Ate My Neighbors that I don't think ever came out over here. But that's also something that we're in. I think it's one of the stories that we're talking
relevant.
About.
Relevant. So. It is. It's relevant. It is. So pay attention. All right.
I have never played this one, but yeah, it's. I like the first one.
All right. We'll talk more about that later. Meanwhile, my gaming week. So I've been continuing in Dragon Quest Builders 2. I'm still in the first area. Like, my gosh, there's a lot to this game. I don't know if I'm going to get through it. I really don't know if I'm going to get through it with other stuff that's released now. But I've been continuing on in that. Playing a little more Final Fantasy 14, thanks to FanFest. And there's a special Moogle Tome event going on in the game right now. So I'm really motivated to get back in there and do my roulettes and stuff again. So there's that. And then I'm still playing Dead by Daylight myself as well, working on Killer and Survivor. Unfortunately, I got to this point where, like, I've gotten my killer up to, you know, like rank 12 or 11, which you'd think would be a good thing, but it actually is really annoying because there's a lot of killers I'm still working on I have no talents with. And when I get matched up with players, I get survivor squads that just bully me, and I can't do anything because I don't have the talents to really go up against them. The matchmaking in the game is really screwed up right now, and I really wish they'd work on that. And then this whole thing with the rank reset went totally... I didn't even get rank reset. So, and some people got, like, people at high ranks got reset all the way down to, like, the lowest ranks. And, like, that, I don't know why that stuff was happening. But, yeah, behavior, they need to work on that. Bugs aside, I'm still at least having fun with the game. At least, I don't give a shit about my rank. I really don't. And at least the blood points and development of your character always goes forward, never backwards. So there's that. So even if I lose a game horrifically, I still get some blood points and I can develop my character. And that's what I really want. So there's that. And so those are all the ones you'd expect me to talk about that I've talked about a lot of weeks. And then, of course, there's the big one. So like Dark Soccer talked about, I am a huge fan of Mass Effect, and I've talked about that ad nauseum on this program. So it is no surprise whatsoever that I picked up Mass Effect Legendary Edition as well this week. And I've picked it up.
Of course.
Yes, and I decided to pick it up on Xbox One or Xbox Series X, as the case may be. That's where I first played the trilogy. Was on Xbox 360. And I was like, you know, I want to have a nice little plop on the couch and play through game. I want to play through the game this way. And so that's what I did. I bought the physical version because I heard that the digital version was like 120 gigabytes. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. Like, we went over our bandwidth cap last week. I can't. And Alan's going to play this too. And I'm pretty sure he did do the digital. So we really don't have the bandwidth for this right now. So I'm like, I'll get the physical and that'll work. I got to say, I love the Mass Effect trilogy. It's one of my favorite trilogies, or honestly, favorite game series that's ever happened. Having played the game a little bit, I love what they've done to the original Mass Effect. It looks a lot better. The Mako stuff doesn't annoy the shit out of you. It's usable. There's a lot of fun. That being said, if you haven't picked up the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, I don't know if you should get it right now. And that might surprise you. But unfortunately, there's some problems. And unfortunately... this is a fucking trend with BioWare games lately and EA games lately. And unfortunately, I've hit my breaking point with this shit. And that is, there's too many bugs. I don't know if the game should have been released. I don't think it was necessarily 100% ready. And I'm going to talk about the biggest bug that's annoying the shit out of me. It crashed my Xbox, which, you know, whatever. Of course, that's going to... right after an important part of the game, it crashed. Thankfully, it auto-saves a lot. I didn't lose too much progress, but that was annoying. And Darksacker will talk about some of the other reports coming in about bugs and things like that later on in the show. But I'm going to tell you the thing that's pissed me off more than anything. And it might seem like a little thing, but I don't know if this is just me being 40, so I'm going full Karen in this moment or whatever it is, but I fucking had it with this. And this is the companies and the internet companies and the gaming companies not figuring shit out when it comes to bandwidth caps and us losing as a result of that. And this is exactly what it is. So the Xbox version of the game comes with two discs. One is labeled disc one that says play disc. The other one's labeled disc two, which is installation disc. I want to stress the Xbox disc and the PlayStation discs are not labeled the same. Okay. So when you go to Xbox, here's what I did. I put in disc one, of course, because why wouldn't I? I put in disc one. I fire up the game. Okay, I'm going to install Mass Effect 1. And then it installed Mass Effect 1. And it downloaded an 11-gig update. Fine. All right. Games need updates. Whatever. I don't, 11 gigs worth. I don't know. Okay. I thought a patch actually just patched files, like actually just substituted the parts. 11 gig. But I don't know enough about programming. I guess I shouldn't talk. So 11 gigs. Then I'm like, you know what? While I'm here, since I've installed the first game, why don't I just install the other two games? Because I'm going to play them eventually. So I go to Mass Effect 2. I hit install, and it props up on the screen and says, we're going to download 36 gigs. Press OK to continue. Whoa, whoa, wait, what? What? You're going to download 36 gigs for Mass Effect 2?
Mm.
What is this?
That's
other?
Ridiculous.
What is this other disc? Okay, maybe it's Mass Effect 3. Let's go to Mass Effect 3. I'm going to download 38 gigs. What? What's this other disc?
For fuck's sake.
Okay. Let me all right, maybe I need to I'll launch the game from the second disc. That'll fix it. So I put in the second disc. Sorry, you need the first disc to start this game. Okay. All right, so I put in the first disc. Maybe I need a disc swap. I eject the first disc. I'm kicked out to the Xbox menu. Long story short, that second disc doesn't do a goddamn thing.
What is it?
Well, from sleuthing around online, what I have learned is if you keep yourself offline when you initially install the game, you will use that data disc as your second and third install for Mass Effect 2 and 3, and then you can patch them. But
that's stupid.
If you're at the point where I'm at, where you've already installed the first game. And so I thought, oh, okay, I'll put myself in, I shouldn't have to do this, but I'll put myself in offline mode, trick it into thinking I don't have the internet, then I can install from the disc. And guess what? Nope, the game crashes because it can't figure out that it can't download the game because that initial patch I downloaded apparently patched out the ability to install from the discs. Unacceptable! And I'm sorry if I've blown your ears out, but I am so fucking mad. This is so ridiculous that this is happening. Like, is it really that hard? And I admit, I don't know shit when it comes to programming games. Is it really that hard to just have an option when you hit install that says download, install from disk? It doesn't. Loki, you've made a game. Does that sound difficult, what I'm asking for?
No, and also, I don't understand why you wouldn't just install from the disk and not. I get it downloading a patch, but like you would think that you would try to conserve. I mean, if you cared about your customers, you try to conserve their bandwidth as much as possible.
Thank you.
Especially when we're talking about large downloads.
Thank you. This is, and you know what? I know there's going to be some people out there that is like, Rob is throwing a fit over something ridiculous. And I warned you in the beginning. I admit this is like a little, but it's, I've hit my fucking breaking point. I need the gaming companies and the cable companies to fucking figure out this bandwidth issue. And I need gaming companies, specifically EA, Electronic Arts, and BioWare. I need them to figure, and honestly, let's say Activision as well, because I know they're guilty of this shit with Call of Duty, and I don't even play it. You guys need to figure out this fucking patching problem. These day one patches, these 70, 80 gig patches, because we don't have the fucking bandwidth for it. And I'm at the point where I'm not going to buy games anymore if I hear that there is these gigantic fucking patches on day one, because apparently the game is just fucking broken to begin with.
Mm.
Like it's my mind is blown that there's a second disc and it doesn't do anything now at this point. And of course I've tried to do the Twitter thing where I've nicely, mind you, much nicer than I am now, tweeting EA help, Xbox support, BioWare, Mass Effect, tweeting everybody saying, is disc 2 not supposed to do anything? Am I doing something wrong? What's going on? Nothing. Of course not. I'm just some jackass on Twitter. They're not going to respond to me. Who cares? But I know I'm not the only one facing this issue. And it's just, and there's a lot of people out there who don't care because they're like, oh, I've got unlimited bandwidth, or, oh, I love Mass Effect so much, whatever. I'm just going to take the 30 gig hit or whatever. But like, as time goes on and as these, you know, things go on with COVID and all this stuff, like these bandwidth issues are getting worse and worse. So what am I, so I dropped $60 on the game. I could have actually gotten the game cheaper digitally because of the Xbox Game Pass agreement and that whole thing with EA. I could have actually gotten the game cheaper. I could have gotten it for like $52 that way. But I actually opted to pay the $60 so that I wouldn't have to worry about the bandwidth thing. And this is what happens.
Mm.
I also want to stress, this is one example of things that are wrong with the game. Again, the game crashed on as Series X as I was playing through it later on. Darksoccer is going to bring up some other stuff later that I know is affecting PCs and some people that are in some similar issues. What's the, like? I'm sorry, I'm just speechless because I in my mind I've hit this point where suddenly some of these things we've laughed at and called frivolous lawsuits no longer feel frivolous to me. I want EA and Activision to be held accountable for this unnecessary shit that hits my bandwidth. I really do. Because I don't know what else is going to stop this trend.
I don't know. It's not going to, they're not going to do anything until it hits them financially.
Exactly.
Unfortunately,
exactly.
It's not going to hit them financially, so they're never going to stop. And it's more like it wouldn't be such a big deal if it was like if the internet companies weren't the way that they are.
And maybe that's what has to give in this situation. I don't know, but
it's still kind of weird though. Like you would think though that it would prior, I mean, because even like just not even necessarily bandwidth, but like you're unnecessarily like making people wait to download something and then install it when you have the data on the disc of that you just purchased. Why wouldn't you just use that? I would think that would even just be faster. Like, I don't understand what the point is.
Just so I'm clear also, this does appear to be, and somebody in chat, if you know definitively, can correct me if I'm wrong, this does appear to be an issue that is unique to Xbox because the PlayStation 5 discs, the one disc is labeled "put me in first" installation disc, and then the other one is the play disc. It's still frustrating. And honestly, that's just the way the PlayStation 5 is built with the whole backwards compatibility thing, and the Xbox is built. And for most circumstances, Xbox has kind of had the better backwards compatibility system. But in this one very specific case, unfortunately, it's fucked things up with the whole patch and everything. E3VL is in chat saying second disc just launcher on Xbox. Second disc does nothing but tell you to put in disc one. Believe me, guys, I've tried this every way you can think of. BioWare needs to put out a patch that allows you to install from the disc instead of automatically going to the internet. The disc I paid for that now does nothing to do that. And I could uninstall the 11 gigs I just did and start from scratch. But
I don't even know if that would be a guarantee to work, though.
Number one. And number two, I shouldn't fucking have to. Mm-mm. And I've had it. So as much as I, you know, now that I've got and I've played Mass Effect and I've just, you know, grinned and bared it through some of the crashes, things like that. It's a great remaster. And you know what? Mass Effect Andromeda had a lot of great shit in it. And what ruined it? Stupid shit that was rushed out too quick. And that is why. Do I want to say it? I'm going to say it. This is going to haunt me. Somebody's going to clip this. It's going to fucking haunt me. I don't care. This is why I am not buying the next Mass Effect game day one. I'm not going to do it. This happened with the Legendary Edition. This happened with Mass Effect Andromeda. This really happened with Anthem. Did this happen with Dragon Age Inquisition, Dark Sakura? I don't remember.
Not really. Dragon Age Inquisition worked fine from day one.
Okay. Yay. So more of that, please.
When I started playing it, I didn't notice a problem.
And less of your track record you've recently developed under EA. I've had it.
Well, and they also need to have arm support, just saying.
I'm not going to play the new Mass Effect because I know it's going to get patched after a month or two. There's going to be problems when it first releases, and I'm putting my foot down. This is one of my favorite franchises ever, and I really want to support the team, and I am so sorry to the team, and I'm so sorry to the people that this affects when they have nothing to do with it, but I've had it. Period. Going to chat. Questbuster says, I can echo Dark Soccer on Inquisition. It installed and worked right from the start for me too. Okay, great. Let's have more of that then. Great. But unfortunately, I just named three in a row that are a little busted. Let's see. RHM087 in chat says, relatively small potatoes, but I'm a little salty. The Switch card for Starlink Battle for Atlas requires an update of around 10 gigs out of the box. Yes, not a fair comparison since Switch cards can't hold as much data as a Blu-ray. Okay, that doesn't discount your point and what you're saying, though, is that this is an industry-wide problem. It really is. Like, we have to do something about this day one 80 gig patch culture. This is enough is enough. Like, okay, a couple of gigs to patch things, you know, okay. But this is too much. This has to stop. And gamers have to be willing to speak with their wallets and have to be willing to forego some things their heart really wants to give in on. And that's why I said what I said about the next Mass Effect game when it releases in, what, 2024, 2025, whenever it is. And that's why I'm like, I'm probably going to regret saying that because it's so far out. But I've had it. So, Bobby Blackwolf, we were talking at the end of your show. I said, you might want to wait. Now you know why. Because it's the same thing. You might as well wait till they patch the crashing issue. The trilogy will be great, and the trilogy will still be there. And I know the industry lives and dies on, you know, how much a game sells in its first week. But that is something that's going to need to change, too, because I'm sick and fucking tired of buying games in the first week to have this shit happen. And going back to the comment on what RHM said, Nintendo is about the only company I trust to do this right. I may get proven wrong in the future, but Nintendo's about the only company that's doing it right. So I think I'll continue to buy Nintendo games the day they come out. But everybody else can go fuck themselves until they figure this out. All right.
Unless it's a Dragon Age game?
No. Oh, no. I won't be buying Dragon Age day one either. Trust.
I am.
Well, that's fine. I'm not telling anyone else they have to do anything. I'm saying I've had it. And I'll buy Dragon Age once I get the validation. It's fine. It works. You know, it's okay. So.
Well, and you know me, any of those games I don't play on console anyway.
Yeah, I know.
There have been a lot of people saying that a lot of people playing on Steam are having an okay time of it.
Yeah.
But
what,
again,
if you get past all this bullshit, like I said, there's a great game in there. Just like Darksoccer, just like Mass Effect Andromeda. It was a great game. It got ruined by all this bullshit. And I feel like the guy in Twin Peaks in the Red Lodge sitting there going, or sorry, the Black Lodge going, it's happening again. It is happening again.
I am going to say my Andromeda worked perfectly as well from day one.
So, all right. I've been very preachy tonight. I'm sorry. There's going to be people that are like, Rob's too preachy. I have feelings, okay?
I just think that we should also bear in mind that for some people, your mileage may vary.
Yes, that is true. And and maybe you don't give a shit because you have unlimited bandwidth. Good for you. Good for you, know, because
I would like to know what part of the world, or well, they, I would like to be a part of that world.
Well,
they live.
I installed 96 gigabytes on my virtual machine,
and there's a very
that
good.
I can't play.
There's a very good chance folks in the Northeast who have Comcast haven't had, because Comcast ended up pushing back that bandwidth cap thing until next year because they were under pressure with coronavirus and everything. That's great for the Northeast. Love you guys. But what the fuck about the rest of us? And this, and my anger is just as much directed to cable internet providers and the fact that in many parts of the country, we don't have choice on. So we're stuck with a lot of this stuff, especially in this, you know, very internet tuned in age where that cap hasn't really changed. I think they might have said, oh, we bumped it up 10%. Big fucking deal.
I have
deal.
Some suggestions for you offline.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's some other things, but we'll talk offline about that. So anyway. All right. I've preached enough. I'm sorry, but I had feelings. I got something to say.
I do actually have something that I want to bring up, if that's okay. Just a quick thing.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm just now looking at, I was so preachy. I wasn't looking at my watch. Go ahead, Darsara.
It's all right. So, hi, Renee. Renee's in chat, who I haven't seen in a long time.
Me neither.
As everyone knows, I'm from Alabama, and we've talked to my mama's son before. She sang a song for us. One of her roommates, that there's, you know, my mama's son, my papa's son, another friend, and then another friend who's actually been mama's son's best friend for a long time. But she is in hospital on a ventilator due to pneumonia and COVID. And I would just like some good vibes, if y'all don't mind. Just some good vibes to send to K-Kitty's way.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yeah. She's
sending my best.
An amazing person, you know. She's one of those people that's better than she thinks she is. So good vibes, please.
And please, please get vaccinated. Please. Like,
yes, yes.
Like, I know people, but the vaccines are experimental. No, the mRNA stuff's been researched for years. And if you've ever taken a flu shot, there's a new one of those every year as well. So guess what? Like, the vaccine's been around long enough. Like, just get the vaccine. All right.
Yeah. Well, and thankfully, I mean, the rollout for vaccines in Alabama has been atrocious. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, finally somebody in that house is vaccinated or on the way to being vaccinated. My mother still hasn't been. She's like, I can't find a place to do it. And so.
Wow.
I'm really disappointed.
I'm really.
And that's.
I'm glad to hear, though.
A mild word.
Knowing your mom and knowing, because it blows my mind the vaccines have become a political issue, and that is so frustrating. But knowing that your mom has a certain stance when it comes to politics, I'm really glad to hear. And this is something I'm hearing more and more, which I'm very thankful, is that people's parents, as their kids are like, fuck yeah, I'm getting vaccinated. People's parents are kind of like coming around a little bit. So like, I'm really happy to hear that. I'm sorry about the fact she can't find one right now. But I'm really happy to hear that she's open to getting one.
Yeah. And I'm trying to do a little bit of, you know, digging on her behalf. And I don't know. It's just I'm really worried. And this one hits really close to home, because if I was still in Alabama, who knows what state I'd be in.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So, again, it goes back to seriousness. And if I remember correctly, I think she's in her late 50s, I think, this friend of mine. So just get vaccinated, get your friends and parents and whoever, harp on them. Yeah. So just do it. Because I know I'm going to be heartbroken if I lose my friend.
All right. Well, I really, really hope she comes around. So fingers.
Not to be a bummer.
No, it's one of those nights here at OLR. Yeah. Sorry,
we have feelings.
Yeah, I'm just laughing at just because I don't know what other expression to have right now. Anyway, I will say, you know what, the nice thing about being vaccinated, Alan and I are both, he got his shot, his second shot, and he's through the motions where he's fully vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated. We actually went to a small gathering of also other vaccinated people last night, probably like 8 people I know in the area. It felt so good, you guys. It's been like a year and a half, and it's like the extrovert in me was like, and we were only there for like an hour because it was a chance thing. We went out to dinner downtown, and it was like a friend messaged and said, you should come over. And we like, fuck yeah, we will. Everybody's vaxxed, right? Yep. Okay, let's do it. So it felt so good. So it's a taste of what the other side can look like if people will just please, please get the vaccine. All right.
I ran into a friend after I was almost past my second vaccine. And, and he had been vaccinated, and we just both went screw it and gave each other a hug. And it's one of the first non-friend hugs I have had in almost 2 years.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, and I can also explain to you why Costco asking if you're vaccinated is not a HIPAA violation. That is correct. That is not a HIPAA violation. And as somebody who worked in the healthcare industry for 18 years and designed HIPAA training for a company with thousands of employees that took the HIPAA training, I will stress to you, HIPAA has to do with information and how it is conveyed from one health insurance entity, or I'm sorry, excuse me, a covered entity, which means a healthcare provider or a healthcare clearinghouse, anybody handling healthcare data, to another. It has nothing to do with disclosures.
Your own personal disclosure.
Your own personal disclosures. Me telling you I got vaccinated, that's not a fucking HIPAA violation, because that's me disclosing it to you. And Costco asking that question to you is not a HIPAA violation, because they're not doing anything with your health insurance information. That's a question they're asking you so you can get through the door. That is their policy, and they have the right to set it.
When I was a massage therapist, I also had to adhere to HIPAA, which basically meant that some third party could not come to me and ask about someone's medical conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We signed the document. I did not disclose it. Basically, HIPAA is a huge NDA
mm-hmm.
on a personal level.
Yeah. One could argue that if Costco then told what you said to somebody else, then they would be violating HIPAA. But actually, Costco is not really they're not storing your data. So it's a very different situation. But anyway, we can get into the nuances if you'd like. But I'd rather talk about video games right now. Get my mind off of this. All right, Loki.
No, let's talk HIPAA nuances.
No. We've had enough off topic tonight. All right, let's get into past 7 o'clock and not even on our first fucking story. So Loki, please.
All right, so I don't know. This isn't really much of a shock, I think, but Sony is saying that they expect that the PlayStation 5 shortages are going to continue into next year. The reason for that is the continuing chip shortage and the demand still staying quite high through 2021. So basically, the financial chief officer, Hiroki Totoki, basically said that I don't think the demand is coming down this year. And even if we secure a lot more devices and produce many more units of PlayStation 5 next year, our supply won't be able to catch up with demand. So continue to expect ridiculous queues and scalpers.
Yay.
But I mean, to be fair, I mean, not a lot of games coming out. Like, I don't know. I still wonder when some of these first party, like, really big titles are coming out. Returnal came out, I guess, recently, but like more of a system seller type things. Like, I haven't yet seen anything necessarily that I needed to have day one, even with the Series X, which I did get, you know, at launch. There wasn't really anything that's like, oh my God, I got to get this system because of this right now.
Yeah.
So I'll have to wait and see.
She-Hulk 10 in chat is saying it's not a chip shortage. They just don't want to pay more for the chips. Yeah, they don't want to. Their loss is only so much that they're willing to lose.
It's still a shortage, because being that the supply is low, that the demand is high, that the prices go up. So it's still technically a shortage.
I gotcha. Just
that, you know, they don't want to pay the inflated price because of the shortage. But, you know, hopefully, you know, with maybe the interest in cryptocurrency, well, I don't know if it's waning. It's still pretty popular. But I know there's just a lot of demand right now. So maybe we'll see more factories, you know, or I don't know if it's necessarily the manufacturing of it or the actual silicon that's, you know, in short supply. But I guess we'll have to wait and see if it calms down.
Sounds very 80s Nintendo.
I'm really glad, and I'm not going to usually hype up what this guy says at all, but I am going to give my polite golf clap to Elon Musk, who's been quite the face of a lot of this cryptocurrency stuff. At least he's been using his platform to kind of say in these past few days, hey, we need to look at something that's more green, and that's something that's not like using so damn much energy when it comes to this cryptocurrency stuff. So I will give one round of polite applause to at least folks that have a voice to be able to realize that something's got to change with all that craziness. And look, I'm guilty of it too. I've gotten in on the cryptocurrency thing just a little bit, but I don't mind it. You know, I've been basically legalized gambling with it, is what it is. So
just tell them to stop putting chips and pig heads and chickens and all that.
Yeah. Anyway. But back to the PlayStation issue. I will say, I'm bummed because, I'd like to pick up a PlayStation 5, especially with Returnal. I've been watching friends play that and stream it, and it looks like a lot of fun and a type of game I'd be into. It looks really cool, but I'm not going to fight scalpers and all this stuff. There's still that part of me. It's like, I will get a PlayStation when I can walk into the store and pick one up off the shelf. Then I'll know it's for me. I don't really want to play these fucking games. Now, if Final Fantasy 16 releases this year, I reserve the right to change my tune, but I don't think it will, and I don't think I will. but we'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to say it as definitively as I said the other thing I'm going to regret. But if I can walk into the store and pick one up off the shelf, I'll be happy to do that. Let's see. Pele Hanumea in chat says, whichever system had 20 million consoles ready at launch could have won the console wars this gen easily. That was always going to be hard during COVID. And even though COVID is declining as we're seeing it in the States, as more people are getting vaccinated, I hope everybody realizes a lot of your gaming consoles don't come from the States. They come from other places where maybe COVID vaccinations aren't getting around as much as well. So yes, COVID is still an issue, even if it is an issue in your house right now. So okay, let's move on and talk a little bit about Xbox, because this is one of those things about Xbox, as much as I've advocated for them on the program, this is one of those things that kind of didn't make sense, and I'm kind of glad that they're going to be addressing this. And that is with the quick resume feature. That's the one that allows you to like pick up a game and go, which, by the way, also crashed my Mass Effect game earlier today, but I said I'd move on. The quick resume feature is allows you to pick up a game without a lot of loading time or waiting. You can kind of flip from one thing to another. But it's hard to tell like what games are actually in the system's memory right now and what's been pushed out. Well, the good news is the quick resume feature is going to be getting a little bit of a facelift with the upcoming Xbox update this month. So you can see what games do you currently have suspended on your Series X or Series S, depending on what you're using. That's going to be nice, especially as more and more games are supposed to be supporting it as well. They say in an announcement, you will be able to list all the games currently saved in Quick Resume, and you can also pin that thing on your dashboard so you can get to that quickly, which is kind of cool as well. On a somewhat related note, Microsoft also released some new themes with Xbox One. Xbox One and Series X, including a anniversary background that lets you kind of relive what the old school Xbox looked like. And it's kind of a neat theme. I also really like green, so I've been using that theme lately, which is kind of fun. So, all right, moving on. Dark Sakura, I promised we'd get to this.
I've been staring happily at this picture of Garrus for a little while because he's Space Husband. So basically, with the Mass Effect Legendary Edition launch, of course people are having issues. You know, you spoke of your own. A few people are already encountering just some other in-game problems. One user in a thread on Reddit says, happens walking around on Citadel and spontaneously when interacting to talk with NPCs. The game just disappears. But I can hear the sound. In Task Manager, it is not responding, and I have to force quit and reload. Other people are saying that they're experiencing the same thing. Several are saying that they're unable to launch the game. And then they have like the boot going in circles, trying to, Origin isn't even loading. I wonder if some of that might be why mine's not playing in compatibility mode. But then again, like I said, Dead by Daylight's doing the same thing. On Steam itself, it'll get to the first boot, and then trying to launch the Origin client, it crashes. But there's other options that people are missing as well. So, it only supports the combat and interactive gameplay in 21.9. The cutscenes, though, all go back to 16.9 using pillar boxes. The aspect ratio, basically this one, I like the term for this. They're saying it gives a sense of visual whiplash And no one has made anything about it. There's no graphical options, no forced mouse acceleration, no field of view slider, pillar box ultra wide. So yeah, people are just talking about mods and patches to fix the port. So I'm kind of glad that I'm not going to play it yet. And I'm actually just watching like a little video of people going through this. So, I hear myself echoing anyway. At any rate though, I think that, there's a lot for them to fix. We're going to see more patches. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that even if this was something that's on purpose, that there's going to be something up on Nexus to change it too. I mean, I don't know if these people are playing full screen or playing windowed or what have you. I mean, there's a reason why I typically play my games windowed anyway. I get a little bit less of that, that massive change. But even so, I mean, I'm on an ultra widescreen monitor. What's going to happen when I try to play it, you know?
Hopefully the modders have fixed the game since apparently it wasn't totally done. I don't know. It's just, it's, and here's the bummer. Here's the real bummer, especially when I'm talking to people like Bobby, who is like, I've always been, you know, I'm paraphrasing what I'm hearing. But Bobby's like, you know, the way you guys talk about Mass Effect all the fucking time, maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe I ought to pick this up. Maybe I ought to play this Legendary Edition now that it's in 4K and it's pretty. And I hate to say, give it like 3 months, because he may not be interested in 3 months. And he may, you know. But the reality is that it's, unfortunately, I think it's going to take a little while for them to get these problems fixed. And it's just like one of those bummers where it's like, I wish they would have had it right on day one. Mm-hmm. And not, I'm not telling people wait 3 months for them to do all the patches that'll definitively fix the game.
Well, see, and now I want to go back on my my virtual computer and try to load the first Mass Effect. But I mean, when I was playing through Mass Effect 2 and 3, because I think they were easier to mod those two, I had basically super high res mods that would work in 1080, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how, like, what did they reprogram? It's the same engine. They boosted graphics pretty much. I mean, they might have, I mean, the first one, of course, was revamped to work on that engine, but I don't really get it, you know.
Well, they went in under the hood and did stuff to combat and the Mako, so I mean, I think they did more with that one than 2 and 3, but yeah but
I don't know, it's just I guess I'm having a hard time phrasing what I want to say.
Because it
makes my heart hurt.
It's just disappointment, because we know there is a good game in there and we know this shouldn't be happening, but it does. And it's frustrating, to put it lightly.
it's like when you're served like a layered casserole and the top layer is like half cooked turnips.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath that, you got some lamb, you got some chicken and some cheese or something. You just need to get past the turnips.
What was that? A trifle with beef and potatoes.
All right. Let's move on to the next story, which I think Loki's talking about.
Yeah, so Target has decided to post where they're discontinuing selling Pokemon cards at their physical locations right now. And this is including actually a lot of different type of collector cards, because they've had issues with grown adults fighting each other in parking lots trying to get some of these more sought after packs. So apparently the restriction kicked in earlier this week. They're going to no longer sell the NFL, NBA, MLB, and Pokemon cards, except online. You can order them through their online stores, but they just don't want you coming to their locations and having altercations in the parking lot because you really wanted, you know, some foil card or something like that. So it's grown adults. I mean, what are you going to do? But yeah, that's. I think they're not the only store too. I think Walmart's also been cracking down on selling stuff as well.
Correct.
So it's just, can we just please act like adults? Please? I mean, come on.
ActEft in chat says, the summary to the story, F you scalpers. And E3VL in chat says, scalpers need to keep themselves in check. Questbuster says, this is why we can't have nice things. And Tiger Claw says, it's because those cards have gone up in value. All of that. Yeah, like it's the scalping culture. I bet a lot of those people fighting over cards are just going to flip them online. And so they see it as money and people trying to steal their money. And when people try to steal money, they want to fight about it. And this is probably where a lot of the scalping stuff has to get fixed too. And eBay and Facebook markets and all these things really need to come together to figure out what they're going to do about scalping. But, you know, of course, yeah, others will say, well, there's not a lot you can do. One thing I do like, though, what was it? There was a store I bought something on recently, and it had, I think it was actually Square Enix when I bought the expansion for Endwalker, actually. Who's getting a lot of praise from me tonight for doing things right. And this is another one I wasn't even planning. But I bought the expansion, and it actually texted me a code to my phone because it was just kind of like, we just need to check this order. I don't know what it was actually checking behind the scenes or whatever. But it texted me a code, and I had to put in that code. But I noticed by doing that, it also is making sure that I have a number in the region that I'm trying to buy the game in, that I'm only getting one, that I'm one person. And it also kind of slows things down because I have to put in this code and all this stuff. So I would love to see more retailers kind of do this forced two-factor verification, which kind of slows the process of buying things down. So it's hard to do. And yes, I know there will be some people that are still probably able to find a way around it and so forth, but it'll really cut down their speed of that sort of thing, I think. So, ZenMonkey11 says they can't stop it. It's the culture. Only the fans can stop it. And, you know, there is very much truth in the fact that if this wanted to end tomorrow, it could, if everybody could just agree to not buy from scalpers anymore. But unfortunately, there's some people that are going to do whatever they want to get their kid their damn Pokemon card. And that's another part of our culture that's kind of disappointing, I guess. Yeah. Tiger Claw says the problem is eBay is enabling all this. I agree, but they're making money off of it. This might be a thing where the government has to step in and regulate it, or at least do that thing where they threaten, if you don't fix this problem, we will. That's what I'd like to see happen. If you don't fix this problem, we will. You're starting to see a little bit of that, because I do believe the current administration or Congress, one of the two, maybe both, kind of have said that this whole chip shortage stuff, this is an issue, fix it. So there, you see it starting to go that direction. So we'll see. All right, anyhow, let's move on, talk about something that's happy and wonderful, and that is the upcoming 35th anniversary of Dragon Quest. Did you know that series is 35 years old? That's exciting and depressing all at once, because I don't know about you guys, but I have fond memories of playing the first game when it first came out in America anyway, when it was Dragon Warrior. And I know we got it a little later, but still, you know, it wasn't that long after. And yeah, 35 years. Dragon Quest will be doing a special 35th anniversary stream on May 26th to celebrate it. And they're going to be giving all the latest information on the latest Dragon Quest games. So, you know, keep in mind, there's like a Dragon Quest cell phone game. I think they did a Dragon Quest version of Theatre of Them at one point in Japan only. I don't know. But the one that has everybody excited, maybe there'll be a Builders 3. That would be pretty exciting, actually. But the real thing that has people excited is that, could this be a Dragon Quest 12? And there's strong hints that this is going to be an announcement of Dragon Quest 12. Of course, the last game in the series was Dragon Quest 11. But that's been out for a little while, you know, to the point that we're getting these like enhanced definitive edition re-releases on Xbox when, you know, it was out on the Switch in Japan and the PlayStation 4 in both regions for quite some time. So I'm expecting that we're going to hear what console the new Dragon Quest game is for, if that's going to be a Switch thing as well, or what they're if they're going to do Xbox parody as well. Who knows? We're going to hear all of that, hopefully, at this stream on, I said 26th of May, but actually I'm hearing the event starts on May 28th at 8:30 Pacific time. So maybe is there two of them? I think maybe it's just a typo in this story because I'm looking at a big graphic that says May 26th is when this is all happening. So look forward to some news in that capacity. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I did finally get around to finishing Dragon Quest XI this last year. Yeah, you know, the Xbox release made me take another look at it, so that was fun. Now, if that's not enough for you, how about some Dragon Quest in the real world? Did you know there is a Dragon Quest Island that is going to be opening? Actually, it opened yesterday. This is the Nijigen no Mori Amusement Park that has this attraction. It's this little Dragon Quest land. I guess you, it's there's interesting pricing tiers to this. And then, you know, some different rides and things with all this. It's been delayed a little bit because of COVID-19, but it did finally open. So, fun. I'd love to visit someday, but probably not going to be anytime soon. All right, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
I have some stuff about PlayStation and Steam. So PlayStation's Steam page is live. And there's actually something that's listing. Number, first of all, it lists 41 pieces of content, but only about half of it is visible. So that's 41 games and their DLC associated with the Sony division. But there's only 24 things that you can see. So the only ones available to purchase right now is Horizon Zero Dawn, Predator Hunting Grounds, and Helldivers. Days Gone is set to release later in the month. But they're saying that they want a lot more to come out. They have a whole bunch of games coming out. And it looks like the evidence for it was there. It's just the stuff isn't there to see yet. I think we've got, you know, hidden placeholders or something.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's like, you know, this is going to this level of where they have like their own branded page and stuff. And I know there wasn't as much juicy news out of that court thing this week. But one thing we did get from the court thing last week was the whole news about that PlayStation had a conversation with Steam. And this looks to be something that could be a result of that. I'm sure there were other things discussed, too. But definitely it seems to be there's a tighter partnership there. And so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think Loki has some more PlayStation things.
Yeah. So this is exciting. I'm always trying to figure out what, you know, they're going to be doing for PlayStation VR 2. And here's some more like kind of from a reliable source type of thing. So Uploaded VR had done a kind of a piece talking about the technology that's going to be in the next PlayStation VR. So some of that, including foveated rendering, which for those who don't know, it's using eye tracking to render just the highest resolution image where you're directly looking. And then everything around that would be lower resolution. And then as you change where you're looking at, it would actually alter where it's rendering the highest, you know, resolution part of that image. So it allows it to save some bandwidth, being able to just render a smaller section of the screen at a higher resolution with everything else being a little bit less in focus, I guess. They're saying that
sounds like straight up science fiction. That's crazy. But,
yeah, it's
neat.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
They had there's going to be an IPD adjustment dial, which is kind of typical with a lot of the headsets out there. Per eye resolution, they're saying is 2000 by 2040 pixels. They're doing the inside out tracking, kind of like the most modern headsets out there right now. Also, they're saying that they're going to have the haptic feedback, which I assume is going to be the same type of stuff that we had with the DualSense 4 controllers. So, their new controllers that they have that enhanced haptic feedback. I'm assuming those are going to be in the new controllers that they put out images for not too long ago. It's still going to be a wired headset, which is fine, but being that technology has gotten a lot better than what it was with the original PlayStation VR, it's just one USB Type-C cable, I believe, which I think that's pretty manageable. What else? That we don't know when it's coming out yet.
Of course not.
And, you know, haven't really seen anything confirmed yet. These are just, you know, like I said, you know, from a reliable source right now. So it's all rumors and speculation until we actually get some news from Sony. But maybe this year. Maybe we'll find out. I'm assuming something next year maybe.
Yeah, I would be shocked if PSVR is a thing for this year. I really, especially in light of the continuing supply issues and things like that. I think it'd be really wild to try to put out a VR unit when you can't put out enough consoles to meet the demand. So I would say for that reason alone, PlayStation VR for PlayStation 5 has to be at least another year out. But I don't make sure bets on anything anymore.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's just, it sounds cool. I hope all that's true.
Now, some interesting perspective in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Bobby Blackwolf, our pal in chat, is saying that I'm very interested in seeing how this will work with my astigmatism, which means my eyes jiggle a lot. I haven't tried any eye-tracking headsets yet. And you know what Bobby is talking about there? That's not exactly an uncommon thing. There's quite a few people out there with astigmatism that...
I deal with it.
Yeah, and so what's going to happen? You know, is there a way to turn this feature off that Loki's talking about? Or is it going to compensate for that somehow? Or I don't know, because I don't develop this stuff. But it'd be some of those accessibility type of things are very interesting questions. Especially when we're talking about new technology with VR. I mean, I hope everybody gets to enjoy it.
I would assume, though, it's very fast. I mean, assuming that most of these, a lot of the newer headsets, you know, render at about 120 megahertz. I mean, that's pretty fast. I think that's a lot faster than your eye can move. So I would assume that, assuming that the eye tracking is that good, and it would have to be if it's, you know, putting the rendering, or it's basing the rendering where you're looking, that's going to be interesting. It's also going to be interesting if they sell that data and use, you know, advertisements like, oh, we can now measure advertising or advertisement engagement and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's pretty dicey.
There's lots of evil.
Yeah.
lots of evil possibilities.
Bobby in chat says, you don't know how fast my eyes can move against my will. Well, I will say this. I look to Bobby to be a voice on this because I know he's a huge VR enthusiast. He talks a lot about it on his show. He works a lot with VR stuff. So I know I'm going to get the answer from Bobby when the PS gets closer to release. And I imagine, you know, I don't think they're going to talk about any of this on a big stage, but I imagine they will address some of the stuff behind the scenes when it comes to things like accessibility. And what about this? What about that? You know, it'll be interesting to see. So, all right. Well, let us move on, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, speaking of announcement type of things, EA Play. You know, they usually do a thing it kind of concurrently with E3, because E3's changed a lot, and I'm not just talking about the COVID thing, but, you know, EA started doing their own thing across the street, and EA is going to be continuing to do its own thing this year, and what's interesting to me is that it's a little ways out. It's on July 22nd this time, so it's not exactly when E3 is happening, which... you know, there's probably great reasons for that. Probably so they can, you know, have every additional day to work on trailers and things like that. So we'll see. I also think it's interesting. They really invoke their old school logo back when they were ECA, of the square, the sphere, and the triangle. If you didn't know, that dates all the way back to ECA and what the loading screen would look like on old games. But anyway, just a little tangent there. They did announce it's coming back on July 22nd. Of course, we have no idea what it's going to cover or what games they're going to talk about, but, you know, you can assume new games and all their big sports franchises, that's for sure. Probably an update on Dragon Age, quite frankly. I think it's a high time to get some more on that. Maybe that'll actually be a thing this year. I don't know. But regardless, there's going to be a part of me that's skeptical about everything they announce, because I'm going to be like, oh, is it really ready? Or are they just going to put it out before it's done? But we'll see. We can make our own judgments in July. All right. Let's go back to a simpler time, you guys. Let's take a step back, and we're going to visit. You know, this is a time when you had to get it right the first time because your game was burned to a cartridge and unable to be patched, really, until years and years and years later. Now we have that technology, but not back then. It's the classic game of the week, and Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you kids should be checking this game out. And this I got to say, Dark Soccer, I didn't know this game that you picked tonight. This is a pretty obscure one for me. Maybe not for you.
I just picked something that... people might not have heard of. And it's not even like the best game, but
it's neat. I'll say it's different. It's different. So anyway, but please, let's get to it.
So the classic game of the week is called Pierre Le Chef is Out to Lunch. Because there's an ellipsis, so I had to pause. So at any rate, it is a video game that came out for Game Boy and the SNES in 1993. It actually is another one of those games that didn't come out in Japan. It's a side-scrolling platform game about a French chef collecting ingredients for his dishes by going to different countries to catch them since they have escaped. And I'll go into other editions of that. But it came out in November 1993 in the U.S. and September 93 in Europe. So it was European first. And I don't think we got the Game Boy version in the U.S. I think it was only in Europe. But in 1994, it did get a release on the Amiga and the Amiga CD32. So it's kind of a who knows these games, right? So at any rate, there is a single-player mode and a two-player alternating mode. So either way, you play as Pierre Le Chef, and you have to capture a certain number of your ingredients before your time runs out. So kind of like a little bubble bobbly, you know, the way that the levels are set up. So, you know, you jump from platforms around and you have to capture everything. And, you know, you've got some, you know, you have basically you can set them on fire, too, which is pretty fun. Anyway, though, you have to catch them in a net and put them into a cage in the level. And then in every level, though, you have to find the net first before you can catch something. So once you have all of your ingredients, then you get a door that pops up to the next level. You will encounter some baddies, including germs and bacteria, where if you get touched by them, you lose your life. The bacteria can also turn your ingredients into hostile enemies. So you have to watch out for spoiled food. And then there's also the arch nemesis Chef Lenoir, who will show up to hinder your process. You can also get weapons like hot sauce and bags of flour you can use to stun your ingredients and the bacteria. So you have to basically take him all the way through various places. Switzerland, Greece, Jamaica, of course, in this game is known as West Indies. Mexico, China, and then France. You have 8 levels that you have to navigate through in each country. And at the end of each country, you can play a bonus game where you can get more points for extra lives. So once you lose all your lives or complete the game, then you're given a final scorecard that says how many points you got throughout the game. And then you get a high score ranking. So there's not much out for, like, big reviews on this one. Game Rankings gave this a 59.5%. But, you know, it's cute. And I thought, you know, as much as we love our bubble bobbles and various games as such, this really makes me think of it. But, like, a little bit of Mappy thrown in and just... I mean, it's a fun little unique platformer, I thought. And again, it's one of those games that had the distinction of being a fully Western release.
The music was giving me Adventure Island vibes, too, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently, the Amiga CD32 version looks really good, but I mean, I think we're looking at the SNES version.
We are.
Yeah, and it's... Don't look half bad. It looks like early SNES, you know, because it kind of is.
But it kind of looks like a port of an Amiga game, which is what I find interesting about this selection, is that there weren't a ton of Super Nintendo games like this. But ironically, one you've picked recently, Lost Vikings, is another one that gives me that vibe where you can kind of tell it's a computer game ported for the Super Nintendo. SimCity is strangely an example of that, but not as much because SimCity had that Nintendo flair. thrown in as well. But anyhow, I digress.
Well, another one about this is that the company Mindscape actually started off as an American company and then was acquired by a French owner. So it's now located in Boulogne-Billancourt. This game is actually a French developed game. They did like the MacVenture series, Moonstone, Warhammer: Shadow of the Horned Rat, a few Warhammer and Lego Island. So it's just pretty interesting. You know, it's something that I've noticed though is that European developed games in general, like during the 16-bit era, had the same kind of look and feel for the most part.
Maybe that's what it is. It's not so much a PC, you know, equivalent or Amiga equivalent, but it's the European. Well, Commodore was so huge in Europe that an Amiga port almost kind of goes hand in hand. But anyway, I digress again. Sorry, but I was just thinking maybe this is more like you can just kind of tell it's a Europe kind of developed game.
Well, my other thing too is that, you know, the only thing that doesn't make this distinctly European is that there's no dropping water to kill you. But anyway, so yeah, it's a cute game. Again, you'll see it as Out to Lunch, but the full name of it is Pierre Le Chef is Out to Lunch.
I wonder, does anybody in chat have memories of this game? Because, you know, I did not know this game, but when I was looking for the video, the B-roll of it, and yeah, you'll have a easier time kind of finding information on it if you look for Out to Lunch as opposed to the full name. But I saw like a lot of YouTube comments that were like, oh, I loved this game when I was a kid or this, you know, so even if something has a low, you know, Metacritic score or whatever, there's just certain games that are always going to take us back. You know, like there are games that didn't review well on Metacritic that I love. The NES port of Ultima Exodus is a great example. It doesn't review well at all, but I have huge memories of that game. There's always going to be a special place in my heart.
I had a friend who had this.
Hmm. Oh, cute.
And we would do the two-player mode. I mean, I really didn't play it a whole lot, but I had seen this pop up not too terribly long ago, and I was like, oh, that game was cute. I sucked at it. and so I decided to throw it in because it's, you know, the Nintendo library in and of itself for Super Nintendo is bigger than you think it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to find just these little things that might have flown under your own radar and say, hey, you know,
yeah,
bust out that Retron or the $400 you might have paid for the analog.
Bobby Blackwolf is in chat and being a little bit tongue-in-cheek or sassy, asking some questions here, such as, it says, I have questions, such as, what causes these foods to escape? Why are we only sending a chef after these sentient foods? What happens if these escaped foods spend too much time in the sun? And why do we not airdrop the chef into this war zone without a net? Is it Billy Mitchell hot sauce? I think talking about one of the foods there.
It's on-site requisition.
and what does the Burger Time universe think of this development of more sentient foods? It's hard to not make the Burger Time comparison when looking at this game about, you know, chef fighting bad food, for sure.
You know what I think of every time I see the little eggs rolling is I think of Weeble and Bob. Remember back when I used to do the website of the month?
Oh, yeah. That was back in the day. That was
back
before your little... facts. You had the facts on the early days of the podcast. I don't know if that was the life lesson or whatever that was. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should start giving out life advice again, but this time I should charge for it. But anyway, okay, so the big rocks are truffles. This is definitely a French game. Anyway, they look like rocks, but I always just call them rocks. I'm like, why is he eating rocks? But they're truffles. But the eggs make me think of Weeble and Bob, which I did review the website, and actually one of the folks that works on it, you know, reached out to us. So, but yeah, the eggs make me think of Bob rolling in. Lil.
Nice. All right. So there it is. Your classic game of the week. Out to Lunch, or the full name one more time.
Pierre Le Chef is Out to Lunch.
All right. Thank you very much. Great pick. All right, it's fun to learn about new games sometimes, too, even years and years after the fact. All right.
Yeah, the truffle also kind of looks like a big poo.
All right, let's travel around the world and quickly check out some rapid-fire news and some quick headlines. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so as you can see in my background here, Ghoul Patrol and Zombies Ate My Neighbors, that's a brand new collection that's going to be released now on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, June 29th, coming thanks to Limited Run Games. They're also going to be doing a physical version of that a little bit later on as well, if you can find that. And then, yeah, so it's going to be coming with the two games, one of which I've only played. I don't know too much about Ghoul Patrol other than it looks kind of similar. They're also adding art collection, soundtrack, developer interviews, and plus they're going to have trophies and achievements and stuff like that in local co-op. So $14.99 is what that's going to run you. So it looks awesome. Can't wait to get that.
A nice and surprise, then, because these are some, really yeah. some cult favorite. Like, the Zombies Ate My Neighbors is, like, a cult favorite type of game. I'm sure Dark Sakura picked it as a classic game at one point, because it's, or maybe you did when she wasn't here one week, but it's really a cult favorite of type of game, and it's great to see it getting a re-release and some attention again.
Yeah, and so there's always been a lot of ROM hacks out there, and one of the more, I guess, popular ones for Smash is Smash Remix, which is a ROM hack of the original Smash Brothers game for the Nintendo 64. They've added lots of new characters to the game, and the latest character that they added in there is Conker from Conker's Bad Fur Day. Also, they have, looks like Wolf O'Donnell is also in there as well. So pretty cool to see that in the newest update. But yeah, it's kind of funny seeing Conker with a chainsaw in a Smash Brothers game, but I would be down for seeing that in a modern Smash game as well.
All right. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, Evercade is a cool little device, and their launch lineup has a few people scratching their heads. So, of course, they have some traditional stuff like Namco Museum coming out. But other two that have been listed recently, the Jalico Collection 1 and the Pico Collection 2, they are pretty classic, but I think you have to kind of stop and think about what you might have played in those series. Like, for example, the Jalico one has the original Earth Defense Force, unrelated to the current ones, Bases Loaded, Astyanax, City Connection, Rival Turf. And then the Pico one has things like Soccer Kid and Shut Up and Jam. So it's got some craziness on there. So if you like those family of games, then certainly check it out. And then, Sony has new, PS5 DualSense controllers that they have announcified. And I just made up that word. So you can get these galaxy-inspired colors. One of them is Midnight Black and Cosmic Red. And honestly, they both look pretty sweet. Although yeah. the red one kind of looks like a bathing suit I just bought. but the Midnight Black will be $70. And the Cosmic Red will be $75. I mean, maybe red costs more or something.
I guess it's that red dye. But it's damn, it's gorgeous. So
don't,
I mean,
lick it.
Yeah.
yeah. But at any rate, you know, if you want a little bit more flair to your non-existent PS5, there you go.
All right. All right. Now we're going to take a look around the world at some games you'll be able to play on those pretty new $70 controllers, or 70 plus, I should say. Starting in the U.S., Loki.
Yeah, so we have a game called Arkea, which is coming out on Nintendo Switch. Days Gone on PC. There's another one of those Sony titles for you. Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Dry Twice. I don't know why that series is still around.
But why are they still making those games?
I don't know. Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. SnowRunner on Nintendo Switch. Void Terrarium Plus on PlayStation 5. Akiba's Trip Hellbound and Debriefed on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Angelique Luminaries, that's on a Nintendo Switch. Layers of Fear 2 on Nintendo Switch. Manifold Garden on PlayStation 5, Rune Factory 5 on Nintendo Switch, Just Die Already on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
What a pleasant sounding title.
Exactly. It's awesome. We've got Uncharted Waters 4 with Power Up Kit HD version. That's quite the name. On PC, Nintendo Switch. Knockout City on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Miitopia on Nintendo Switch. Rust on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Wow. Busy week. Bobby Blackwolf responding to my question, why are they still making these games, saying people buy them regarding Alice. Do they, though? Because doesn't this... I could be completely wrong, but doesn't this franchise keep changing hands? Like, is sold to the lowest bidder because, like, all these games are turds?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it's this one or, like, the last one, but one of these was a Kickstarter. I think this may have been that Kickstarter game.
Oh, okay. I got it. All right. All right. Let's go over to Japan and check out some releases over there. It's getting busy. I know Golden Week was a couple weeks ago, and we had a kind of slow week after that, but it's picking back up again. So here we go on the Switch this week in Japan. Rune Factory 5, regular and limited edition. Angelique Luminarize in a regular and limited edition as well. Akiba's Trip, Hellbound and Debriefed in a regular and 10th anniversary limited edition. The Wanderer, Frankenstein's Creature in a regular and special edition. And then Manifold Garden, also out on the Switch. Uncharted Waters 4. There's some type of power-up kit that comes with this. There's a regular HD version and the 30th anniversary edition that comes with this as well. I'm assuming the power-up kit must be an online thing because it doesn't look like it's a peripheral in the box or anything like that. Yeah, it looks a little bit like a Nobunaga type of game, but I could be completely missing the mark there. I'm seriously looking at just a couple screenshots here. It's a Koei Tecmo game, though, and they are the ones with Nobunaga's ambition, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's related. Let's see. Also on the Switch this week, we have... that's it. Let me go to the PlayStation 5 and 4 and check out releases there. Mortal Shell is out this week in Japan on the PlayStation 5. And that's it. That's the big release on the PS5 this week. Probably a little more on the PlayStation 4. I imagine you'll see a lot of those same Switch titles. Yes, Akiba's Trip is out there as well. And the Ninja Jajamaru Collection is out this week on the PlayStation 4 as well. I'm trying to see what collection this is. Oh, this is some old school arcade games. Oh, and NES games. Wow. I'm trying to figure out if these games were ever released in the States and what they're called. It's a bunch of old Famicom games, and they even have a new one in it. Chad, if you guys know, feel free to help me out. I'm trying to look at screenshots to see if I recognize it. Is it Kid Nicky? Is it that?
Kid Nicky?
The Mystical Ninja? I could be totally wrong on that. Somebody else might know. It's kind of what I'm drawn to at first, though.
Yeah, Kid Nicky was, I want to, it was actually a different game. It was called The Wonderful Yamcha Maru.
Oh, okay. My bad.
So it wasn't a Goemon game.
Okay. I know it wasn't a Goemon game. Dark Tetsuya says, I think it was Japan only. Okay, fair enough. All right, let's move on to the UK. Dark Sakura.
Six Things. On the 18th is SnowRunner for Switch. On Switch and PlayStation also on the 18th is Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Die Twice. On PlayStation on the 20th, we have Super Street Racer. On the rest of these are on the 21st. On Switch, we have Kowloon High School Chronicle. On PlayStation and Xbox, we have Rust Console Edition. And on the 21st again on Switch, Miitopia.
Yay. A lot of people looking forward to that one.
Yeah. But I just like, I kind of like wasn't expecting that because I, you know, hadn't really been looking too much at the, some of the upcoming Switch releases.
Mm-hmm.
But what decade did, or what year did I pop back into where we have Leisure Suit Larry and Miitopia?
Well, if you go back to way, way back, the original Leisure Suit Larry, I'm pretty sure was an early 90s, maybe even late 80s type of thing. The other is a little more recent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby Blackwolf's reminding, I enjoyed Miitopia on 3DS. Dark Sakura was the big baddie in my game. Cause you could make your friends the monsters. And I seem to remember a conversation at E3 or something about this. And you ended up being the baddie. Yeah. That's great. All right. Let's move on then. We have some more news. This first story is interesting to me. But Loki, I'll let you talk about it here.
Yeah. So Sega, I guess, part of their latest financial results report, they had sort of, I guess, realized that, hey, they've got a bunch of these really recognizable IPs that they've been sitting on forever that perhaps they could remaster, remake, or reboot them. They were listing off, some examples like Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, Space Channel 5, Rez, Panzer Dragoon Knights, Shinobi, Virtua Fighter, Altered Beast, House of the Dead, Streets of Rage, Soul Hackers, etc. Basically saying that, you know, after careful examination, you know, we could re-release these. Perhaps people would want to buy our popular games.
Well, they have re-released a lot of those.
Yeah, I understand that, but
to,
like...
Yeah, Alan, get to give Alan a cheap plug, he plays a lot of those games on his stream on the Music Mondays that he does. I know he's played through Space Channel 5, Part 2, and Rez he's done before, Jet Set Radio. So, like, you know, they have re-released those games on Steam.
But how do you not realize, like, hey, maybe this is a good idea. Like, it seems very obvious to me. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure. Go on Twitter, and I'm sure there are plenty of people that are saying, who do I have to bang in the parking lot to get a new Jet Set Radio? There's a lot of people that would love, love, love to see that. So I hope so. I'd love to see a new Space Channel 5. To be fair, we did get the VR thing, but I just haven't gotten around to playing the VR thing yet. But I know there is that, so at least we know it's not forgotten. But yeah, I think a lot of us would like to see some of these old Sega classics make a resurgence. Pod Culture in chat quite loudly says, just do a damn Dreamcast Mini FFS. We all know what that means. So
yes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that would be very excited about that. But it has to have the little thing, the Tamagotchi thing you take with the VMU. Thank you. That you take with you. So, all right. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I know people beg Hideki Naganuma for a new one, but he just redirects them to Sega. I mean, what's he going to do about a new Jet Set Radio? That's right. Yeah, go to Sega. All right. Anyhow.
More spiritual successors.
Yeah. Going on to the next story, which I think this is really cool, and I talked earlier about, like, you know, hey, more accessibility type of things is awesome, and I love this. Microsoft is talking about something they are working on with speech transcription and text-to-speech synthesis for party chat. So Xbox insiders actually have access to this, which I think I'm one of those, so I need to go look and see if I have access to this, even though I hardly ever talk with people on Xbox. I don't know what I'd use it on. But maybe it would work on PC, assumably? I don't know. But anyway, I think this is great. So this feature is going to make it easier for people who maybe, you know, have hearing or speech difficulties. They can actually read what's coming up in party chat because it's being live transcribed on the screen. These features are in the Ease of Access tab under Game and Chat Transcription. With this on, words spoken in a party are converted to text displayed in an adjustable overlay. And if you have text-to-speech enabled, anything you type in party text chat will be read by a synthetic voice to the rest of the party. So it's a way for you to have a speaking voice as well if you want. So that's really cool and a feature I'd like to play around with. I love that. I would love to have transcriptions of this podcast available. Unfortunately, the reality is all the services that offer it are way too expensive. Like, you know, and I get, you know, people don't do work for free, so it has to, and all these services I'm looking at are actual people working, so I get it, but the problem is a 3-hour or, you know, at worst, maybe 2.5, 2-hour, whenever on some weeks, this podcast, like, it's really expensive. So I just can't afford it. But if there were some type of, like, automated way to do it, which somebody was telling me to use YouTube to do the transcriptions, and it's not, YouTube isn't great at it, but it might be a start. So yeah, I would love to have that just even for this show.
I'll check on some options.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Just if it costs money, the answer's no. All right.
Well, the answer might be maybe.
All right.
Depends on who's fronting it.
Yeah. So all right, let's move on. I think this one's yours, Dark Tucker.
Yeah, I was just about to start it. Now, this is already passed. So this was actually for Friday, May 14th. Itch.io held its first ever Creator Day, which I don't know how that went. But they went to forego its usual cut of sales. So 100% of any transactions that day after taxes and payment processing fees were going directly back to the creators. So basically, it was a good way to put these indie developers, give them a little bit more money in their pocket. I mean, and the thing with itch.io already is that they have a default 10% cut of sales, but it could go between 0 and 100 depending on what the developer wanted to do. And so they take a much smaller cut than the 30% industry standard. So I thought it was really cool that, you know, they gave back.
Yeah. I was going to say,
I wish I'd known about it.
I know. I wish I'd known. We would have hyped your game more to get sold then. But SSJ and her Matt does remind us in chat. Speaking of itch.io, Loki's game is on it and drops the link there to buy Pixel Poops number 2.
I appreciate that. I've still just reordered my labels because they got screwed up the first time. So still working on that physical edition.
All right. Nice. All right. Well, maybe they'll do another one of those Creators Day again in the future. That would sure be nice. All right. Meanwhile, Loki.
All right. So, you know, this is kind of funny because it's almost like a meme here, but we remember the Ever Given container ship on the Suez Canal. Well, apparently, Nintendo's Switch shipments were impacted by that. Now, I might say, though, that's a likely story, Nintendo, that your shipments were... Yeah, this is the reason why there's a shortage on your consoles, right? It's because of this. I'm skeptical, if you may say. But apparently they said, yes, that caused delays for the product in Europe, and some of the inventories are a little bit tighter in those countries. Sure. Sure, Nintendo. We'll believe you this time. But I'm skeptical. I'm on to you.
You think it's just a convenient excuse?
I'm sure that they'll say that the Ever Given, like the digital version of the Ever Given, is just like, it's just jammed into the eShop. That's why we got to take down Mario, you know, in March, because it's just the Mario games just can't get through there. So I don't know. I'll believe them this time.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, remember that ship didn't just block its own stuff. It blocked all ships. Yes, it wasn't just about the one ship that was stuck, but obviously it caused a traffic jam, but like the worst possible kind that went on for weeks, really.
Yeah, and I get that. It's just like Nintendo always has hardware shortages on everything. So yeah, like,
this doesn't help. But I think,
everything.
I think when it happened, we all sat here going, it's not going to help, you know? So
right. Yeah.
There is that. All right, let's move on and get to our last story tonight, which is rumor-based, but these are rumors that are gaining a lot of steam, so, you know, take for it what it is. They're rumors. But anyway, so there's this blogger out there, Zippo, that I guess has got some things right before and is kind of talking about what Nintendo is doing for the rest of the year. And I guess based on his track record, some people are kind of, you know, running with it a little bit. So what is it that he's talking about for the rest of the year? And this isn't the first time I've heard of this. Apparently a 2D Metroid is something that's being worked on, and that apparently it's done and it's ready to go. So that would be something if we got that really soon. You know, I love me some Metroid. Apparently it runs at 60 frames a second, but, you know, as I would encourage everyone else to do, don't set the bar high with this stuff. I'd love this, but I'm not going to assume it's happening. Metroid Prime 4 is happening. Nintendo's confirmed that someday. Apparently a Donkey Kong game from the folks behind Mario Odyssey is being made. It is like a 2.5D type of game. Sounds a lot like the Tropical Freeze type of thing. Could be very interesting. So that is something that's being worked on, as well as the new Fire Emblem. Super Mario Party 2, more 99 games. Apparently, and what I think is interesting about this rumor, and one reason why I'm willing to kind of believe it a little more than others, is that they go as far to say Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, not this year. So I think that's interesting that they're actually kind of placing the bet there that that isn't happening this year. And the reason why issues raised from the pandemic. It's almost complete, but the end of the year doesn't seem feasible. But it seems plausible, if we want to go back to that word, that Nintendo could announce that it would be like a spring type of game. So maybe the same release time frame as, say, Animal Crossing, since clearly they can put out a new Zelda whenever they want. They don't have to do it for the holidays. They could do it whenever they want, and it'll still sell like crazy. And then, of course, a big one, the new Mario Kart game. There is a new Mario Kart game that's being worked on as well. However, it may not be Mario Kart 9. And the blogger here doesn't know if it's maybe a Mario Kart 9 or if it's Nintendo Kart or maybe an expansion for 8 or something. So, like, isn't willing to kind of place stock in any of those, but that there is a new Mario Kart in development and that is coming at some point. So, you know, this is what people are talking about on Twitter and things like that. Certainly a list like that, it seems believable enough. But again, I'm not going to place bets on anything. Who called the Game Builder Garage thing? Nobody. So that came out of left field. So I think there's also a lot of, there could be unexpected stuff as well. And there are some things in there that are kind of safe bets. Again, we've heard the 2D Metroid thing before. To say Breath of the Wild 2 isn't going to make it because of COVID isn't that big a stretch. I know I said, but it's not that big a stretch. A new Mario Party and a new Mario Kart, of course. You know, even though Nintendo killed Mario, some of his franchises are still popular, and so they will Weekend at Bernie's him through some more games to make the money. So, Tiger Claw says, would that World Circuit be considered Mario Kart 9? Because there's jokes, SSG100 Matt saying Mario Kart 10, they're skipping the 9. I mean, they could do anything they want. You know, the blogger said, what about Nintendo Kart? It doesn't even necessarily need to be a Mario Kart. What if it's Super Smash Kart? I don't know, like, but I could see that maybe Nintendo wants to go beyond just Mario. Oh, we'll see. But I think it will be Mario Kart 9, or it'll be, I don't want to say a reboot, but it'll be like it'll be a Mario Kart world or Mario Kart universe or Mario Kart, like they'll give it a new subtitle that kind of takes it away from the other sequeled games. We'll see. Oh, and the folks are talking about the Home Circuit. Yeah, Home Circuit was like a spinoff. It was a different thing. That's a good call out because that was a good example of something different that wasn't in the mainline games. No, that was not canonically Mario Kart 9, but good call.
Yeah, that was short-lived in my household, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's...
I'm no more physical things from Nintendo anymore. I'm not purchasing anything that has a physical device because it's just not going to get used ever, whether that be Labo or the Mario Kart thing. It's not worth it.
Boy, we're making a lot of big statements tonight. All right. Let's get to our listener roundtable. If you have some comments you'd like us to discuss in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, we can certainly get into those. And then, of course, we want to check our emails. You guys email us every week over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Soccer is going to dive into the mailbag and get some emails for us.
No, I'm not.
Oh, are there none tonight?
Nothing.
Boo.
Yes, we have no bananas.
And I don't even think I have really anything on Drag Race. There's literally nothing to discuss. I'm not watching the Drag Race Down Under. So now what happens? Oh, okay. I'm laughing at this.
I have no tea to spill, so.
Okay, I will get to the Discord comments, but I have to get to this. This is making me laugh. SG100 Matt is asking, so Rob, how does it feel to go viral this week? I finally, after years and years on Twitter, had a tweet that ended up getting like 1,000+ likes on it. So I'd say it went pretty viral. Even though when I told Alan about it, he was like, well, a viral tweet would be like 20,000 likes.
Jeez.
And it's weird. That's the interesting thing about what tweets hit is that I've had some tweets that are pretty fucking funny that don't go anywhere. People don't retweet them. I might get 40 or 50 likes from my followers, but it doesn't get retweeted or anything, so it doesn't really go. And that's fine. That's okay. But, like, the tweet I wrote that went viral, so what it was a play on this whole – there was some dumb magazine or something that had a feature that was talking about geriatric millennials in the office place that apparently they're now leading team. I don't even know what the article was about. I didn't want to link it because I didn't want to give it the hits. But everybody on Twitter, of course, is dunking on this term, geriatric millennials. I think Loki would qualify as one with his age. Yeah. But Dark Soccer and I, what the fuck does that make us? We're technically Gen X at that point.
Not even a millennial, though, because I'm 1980, so.
Oh, okay, so you're like right at the end there. So I just
think that would make you Gen Y.
I just made this sassy tweet, and I found a picture of a skeleton at a computer, and I put me,
I put me
born in 1978 reading about geriatric millennials. That tweet got fucking like 1,000 likes on it and like 100 retweets. So it's weird is the answer to that, Matt. I mean, I'm just laughing at it because like it's always the stupid tweets that go viral. The closest I ever got before was like I think I got 300 or 400 likes on a tweet that was using the hashtag National Send a Nude Day. And it was just like a gif of Judge Judy. And I just put Time's Almost Up, National Send a Nude. And I got like 400 likes. It was a gif of Judge Judy banging the desk going, hurry up. Like, it was stupid. Like, I wish one of my tweets about video games would get, or a tweet promoting the show, but we all, the reality is Twitter doesn't do that. All right. Anyway.
If they haven't found our show by now.
I know. It's a lost cause at this point. All right. So there's my answer to your question in chat as Joe and I are mad. All right. Going to Discord. I've been starting to read Discord comments you guys leave throughout the week over at vognetwork.com/Discord in the Orange Lounge radio channel. And thank you, Tiger Claw. I see you posted that movie I talked about at the top of the show. So appreciate that. Interesting. A tweet from Corke in our Orange Lounge radio channel that Blizzard is relenting on the cloning fees. I didn't even know they were doing this. They were going to charge $35 to duplicate your character. Holy fuck. I thought that was something they were doing for free. Well, apparently they've retreated $20 worth. So now that cloning feature is going to cost $15. Woohoo, I guess.
Thanks.
Thanks for that.
Hell.
Dark Sakura, Tiger Claw reminded me of this in our Discord. Did you see this week the Mass Effect video that had all the fans talking about what the series means to them and all that cute stuff, all the like cosplayers and stuff? You should go check it out. Tiger Claw linked it in our Discord, so be sure to check that out. Vognetwork.com/Discord in the Orange Lounge radio channel. At the 1 minute and 44 second mark, our friend Travis Donovan is in it. He doesn't say anything. But it's his when he renewed his wedding vows at Dragon Con, and he was dressed up as Shepard and Jenna was dressed up as Miranda. It's really quick. It's like them embracing after saying I do. But that was a thing. So it's actually in the video. That's really cool. So
that's sweet.
Yeah, it was. When that part came up, it was like, I know them. I know them. Actually, that wasn't the only person. I had a Twitter mutual that was in the video a little more featured talking about like the gay representation in Mass Effect and what it meant to him. So there's a lot of like, wow, this is a small world. I almost feel guilty for going off earlier, but I don't. I mean, like, you can love a game and still be pissed off that it's not given the love and affection it deserves. That's what it is. We protect our babies. And that's what it is when it comes to Mass Effect. All right. Let's see. Oh, Tiger Claw's link reminds me of this. Did you guys see it? Loki, you had to have seen this. All the hubbubaloo around the calculator game on Nintendo Switch. Have you seen this?
I saw that they had like a calculator app, yeah.
And it looks exactly like the iPhone calculator, like right on down to the colors. But it's like a scientific calculator going for $10. But internet gonna internet, this is like the whole like rage, like, oh man, this calculator is the best thing ever. It does everything it says it's going to do. It's so powerful. And it's like, I don't know why this is becoming a meme, but internet, what can you say?
They have like there's like art programs and stuff on there as well. Like, nobody's making a big deal about that. I guess it's just silly that calculator's on there.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Act Deft asking the real questions. Can that calculator run Doom? I don't think so, because it doesn't have that kind of screen on it. But never say never, Act Deft. W04 in chat asks, what are the chances of a new Maximum Carnage video game now that the new Venom movie is coming out? I mean, as good as anything else. But usually, like, I feel like they haven't, like, the Marvel and even DC stuff, they haven't really been doing a lot of, like, this is something the industry used to do that they don't do as much anymore. They haven't done a lot of stuff directly from, like, current movies. It's like the Avengers exists in its own universe in the games now, and it's not just a port of the movies, right?
You can expect some Spider-Man skins, maybe, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's probably it. But again, never say never. All right. SSGA 100 Matt in Discord with a big headline we didn't get to tonight. Bobby talked about it a little more on his show, but it's the whole hubbaloo bubub about Starfield from Bethesda is going to be exclusive to Xbox and PC. Originally, it was thought that this game was going to be exclusive to Sony, but is anyone surprised that Microsoft bought Bethesda and now this game is going to be exclusive?
It'll probably be just like a timed exclusive, maybe. Or I don't know if it's going to be a complete exclusive. They might want some of that money.
It is suggesting that it is a complete exclusive, and it's going to show up at this E3, and it will release in 2022.
Nice.
So we'll see.
Hope it doesn't suck. I'm more interested in the new Elder Scrolls game, whenever that comes out.
Yeah. All right. Let me see if I can get through a couple more of these. But first, let me go to Loki and get some last minute stories, and then I'll do a couple more Discord
comments. Yeah, I don't got any of those.
What? All right.
I looked. There wasn't really anything worth covering. I'm sorry.
I want to say Marcus in our Discord shared that article about the PS2 exploit that talks about certain versions of the system being region free. You have to scroll up a bit because he posted it on May 10th. But I know that came up on a previous episode of the show. So there is that.
Here I got something then. So eBay is banning the sale of adult video games. So they're going to be implementing a new adult items policy on June 15th. And they're going to be, you know, blocking anything that's basically unrated, you know, XXX. Also explicit comics, books, films, animation, manga, hentai, yaoi. I don't know if that necessarily applies to video games, though, but maybe if it's unrated.
So sorry, no BMX XXX used.
You're not going to be able to find that anymore. You'll have to go to the Facebook Marketplace for that.
Or you have to steal it online like a lot of people do these days. Not that you should do that, but sometimes when it comes to games preservation, we're left with minimal choices. All right. I want to mention this in chat. So Bobby Blackwolf in chat is talking about this, and Dark Soccer, this is up your alley. Literally, in a way. Was there something earlier about Mandalorian pinball? No, I didn't bring it up because you did, Bobby. So we don't always have to talk about the same things. But Dark Soccer, of course, is a pinball geek. So I think the world wants to know her reactions. You're not getting it. Bobby is. So you can fly to Atlanta and play to his house.
There's already a bunch of people who are like selling their pre-orders on eBay.
It's probably because there's the whole like three editions, right? You talked about a Black Knight table recently that had this whole thing. There's like a limited edition, a extra edition. The same thing's going on with this Mandalorian. Yeah.
Well, the big thing is that we just got a new to us pinball anyway. We have the Jersey Jack Guns N' Roses.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I actually kind of like it.
I want to come over and play pinball.
Come over.
Yay. All right, let's plan
a
day.
Come over tomorrow.
Maybe. Don't you stream on Mondays? No. Alan streams on Mondays.
I actually stream on Mondays earlier.
Oh, well, yeah, after the show and all that, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
After what show?
The one we're
tomorrow.
On?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Well, I thought
I do tonight, I do Monday, and I do Tuesday.
Okay, all right.
But I'm so confused. We'll see.
All right. At some point. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. Just whenever. Come over and play pinball. And then in September, hopefully, enough people get vaccinated where Dragon Con can be a thing. And even if it's a downscaled show this year, which I'm expecting that might be the case, they'll probably still have Dragon Con, but they're probably going to do some things to try to not have people gather quite in mass as they do. But I don't know. At the same time, my perception's fucked because I'm in California, not Georgia, and my understanding is things are very different out there, so it might just be the same old Dragon Con. We'll see. But I know the folks behind it will not have it if they don't think it's going to be safe. I have that trust because I know there's people, many people in Atlanta who work at the CDC. So Many folks on Dragon Con because of that. But anyway, assuming I get out there in September, I look forward to playing Bobby's Table. He'll have it by then, right? I think so.
I think so.
Which, by the way, they changed my flight out to Dragon Con. I had to call Delta to try to get an earlier flight. I was on hold for 40 minutes and still didn't get through. So I have to try calling again tomorrow because the online wouldn't do it for me. I'm trying to get on an earlier flight because it has me getting there at like getting to the airport at like 8 o'clock on Wednesday, 8 p.m. And that's pretty late in the day. So I want to catch a early morning flight and get there a little sooner if I can, because we have a tradition. We always go to that 24 diner around the corner on Wednesday night. And that was the very first place I took Alan when we went to Atlanta, was that little diner where he drank way too much sweet tea. And we always go there on Wednesday nights before the craziness kicks in. And if I get there that late, I mean, I guess they're 24 hour, but still. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's about it. I think we're going to wrap up. That's about the end of the show. Before we do, let's get some final thoughts. Let me say, of course, as I always do here at the end of the show, thank you for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Whether you were listening live here at the Voice of Geeks Network or you were listening on our podcast feed, we appreciate you. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice. Tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show goes an awful long way. Thank you so much. Thank you to those that go the extra mile with their subs and bits and all that stuff here on Twitch. We really, really appreciate you and the fact that you do that. And we're working on more behind the scenes to try to give value for your Twitch subs. So please look forward to it, as they say. Auto hosts on Twitch go a long way as well. Those of you that auto host the VOG Network channel, thank you, thank you, thank you. Really appreciate that. And I hope you all have a wonderful week gaming. And as we talked about at the beginning of the show, gaming is so much more than pixels on a screen. I just appreciate you guys that spend your Sunday nights with us or whatever 2-hour, 3-hour period throughout the week you dedicate to listening to OLR. Even if we're your background noise while you do your day job, hey, I'm glad we could be there with you. And I hope the customers didn't suck today. all right. Let's get some final thoughts. Loki, I'll start with you. Your final thought.
My final thought is I'm hoping to have I promise episode 2 will be out this week for my YouTube series. I'm starting, it's not really a series yet because there's only one video, but it will be a series eventually. So that'll be out this week. Episode 3 will be much sooner than that because I'm pretty much already filming everything for that. So I'll just turn around that much faster. But yeah, look for that.
All right. And Dark Sakura, I'll let you have your final thought.
Stay tuned. I'm going to play Dead by Daylight and try to get a gnome.
All right. Good luck with that.
Yep.
All right. And my final thought, I don't really have a good one. There's a lot of exciting and scary stuff going on in my personal life. Just send your good vibes my way. There's a lot going on. I will talk about it on the show, but it's going to be a little bit. So, nothing of concern. Nothing of concern. Okay, that's it. And gaming is for everyone, I think, is a good note to end things on.
Yes, it
as
is.
Well, since we always talk about gaming is more than pixels on a screen, I think it's a good reminder gaming is for everyone. Don't you forget it. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Have a great stream tonight, Jamie. Have a great
Thank
week
you.
Everybody gaming, we will see you next week here on Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.